about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
So it's lovely to see you both again. I just wish it were under better circumstances.
You don't have to talk.
All right.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Big Daddy in the house right here. Shorty by the side. Quack, 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 quack. Stand back, we're taking this for a ride. Yo, Wagwan, Selecta. This ain't my corruption, I don't you know here. Blah.
Yeah. One day you're gonna be on the cover of the internet.
Miss Universe 2015 is Colombia. Miss Universe 2015 is Philippines.
I think if there is any takeaway from today, it's this. Anyone can be a racist. Anyone.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I don't want to go down to the basement.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I'm going to go down.
All right.
Roll another one.
Debbie Downer.
Just like the other one.
That was sexy, that animal.
This one seems to be about to quit.
I'd swipe right.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Because white people help their own.
Roll.
Crazy.
This one seems to be about to end.
Frankly, it's making me uncomfortable.
I don't have another cent.
Wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
But I won't guard that joint.
What even? God!
Just pass it around.
If you're legal.
And now,
it is a revolution in gynecology.
Our feature presentation.
Go on.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday. It is the 15th of January. What's happening?
What about the doctors who decide to go into gynecology?
Oh, I mean,
I would welcome this conversation from anyone else.
I'm not being creepy about it.
I know.
It sounds like a terrible job. I'm just. And by the way, the doctors who decide to be dentists, too. I just think that there are some – I mean, you got to be a very special kind of person to decide that's where you're going to have your hands all day every day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad that people do it. We need specialists.
Right.
But it's just like what's going on? It's just interesting that those are jobs that 99.9% of people, even if they were going to be doctors, wouldn't want to do. But somehow people do.
Wouldn't you rather be a gynecologist than a proctologist?
That's another good one. I put,
thanks,
that on, put
awesome,
that on the list.
Yeah, high five, Kevin.
Nice work.
Yeah.
Put that on the list. I don't know. Just thinking about it when I heard that. That's all.
All right.
It is Friday here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Interesting news out of high school sports in Wisconsin. I don't know if you guys have seen this story. And I don't know why it has been ramped up. Apparently, these rules from the Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association have been on the books for some time, but they are recently being reinforced. You know, it works like that around here. There are things you're allowed to do and not do, and, you know, people slide a little bit.
Yeah, you get away with it forever, and then all of a sudden, hey, you have to start following these rules.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what's happening in Wisconsin. And I don't know. There must have been some incidents at some high school sporting events where the fans got out of control or the players were disrespectful or something. But the schools there are reemphasizing the guidelines. And I think you guys are going to be shocked when I tell you what you are not allowed to do as a player or as a fan at a high school event in the state of Wisconsin.
All right.
Booing of any kind. for instance. No booing. Now, there's never been a sporting event without booing, and that doesn't necessarily mean booing other players. I mean, stadiums full of football fans boo every time there's a call from the referee that goes against their team.
You gotta boo the ref.
Even if the call is completely right, by the way, on what's a first down or what's a field goal or whatever, people are still gonna boo.
You don't have a choice.
Yeah. It's just instinctual.
It's a responsibility.
Just goes. Yeah.
But high school, okay.
All right, no booing. You can't chant overrated. Is that the overrated?
Yeah, yeah.
That's a can't chant that. What's the scoreboard cheer? Have you heard that?
Same thing. Scoreboard, scoreboard.
And what does that mean? Just look
at
who's
when
winning?
You're winning, it's like, ha, suck it.
All right.
Yeah.
Have you heard, we won, you lose, we won, you lose? I've heard that one.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That's the worst chant ever.
Worst chant ever. Agreed.
We may come to that on this list.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right, go ahead.
Airball, you're no longer allowed to chant.
Come on.
Nuts and bolts.
Hold on. When somebody puts up an air ball, even in grade school.
Yeah. Not
air
Wisconsin.
Ball.
Not Wisconsin.
That one is needed.
By the way, it doesn't say in this article what happens to students who do chant these things anyway. Do they get escorted out? Are they not allowed to come to games? Does it hurt them academically? I don't know. Nuts and bolts is a chant you're not allowed to say. Now, what's that one about?
That I don't know.
I don't know.
Nuts and bolts.
U-U-U chant. No longer allowed. You can't do that. Another chant. Fundamentals. Another chant. Warm up the bus.
Wait. Huh?
Warm up the bus.
That's funny.
But that's, you got to leave, right?
You can't chant fundamentals?
Yes. Yes. By the way, I don't see defense on here yet. Maybe that's because you're chanting at your own team, maybe. Civ. Anyone?
What's going on in high school in Wisconsin?
Does that mean like weak defense?
I guess so. Yeah, because everybody's getting through everything.
Yeah.
Right. Just real quick on some of these other chants, because then there's other stuff on the list. Push it, push it, push it. You can't chant. You can't sing the na-na, hey, goodbye song. How about this? No, in Wisconsin, no USA. USA.
What? They hate America.
Apparently so.
Ugh.
Any chants or comments that are disrespectful to an opponent or official, including the school mascot, the school nickname, the school population, the opponent's town or community, or that is derogatory to an individual because of race, gender, creed, body type, or ability. That's a list right there. So I guess if somebody's terrible, you can't, cheer or yell. Or use soccer or anything like that. All right. Holding up papers or props during opponent introductions. Turning backs to court or field during opponent introductions.
I've heard of that. That's funny.
If you're just joining us, by the way, we're talking about the rules that they are reinforcing now that have been on the books in the state of Wisconsin at high school athletic events. Dressing in attire that is not associated with the school spirit or is inappropriate. Waving arms or making movements or sudden noises in an attempt to distract an opponent.
On, Wisconsin!
Fan participation. Oh, you're going to love this one,
Wisconsin
Kevin.
Sucks.
Right?
You can't say that. You're not allowed to say that, man.
Sorry,
you're going to be escorted out.
My bad.
Fan participation activities while the game is being played, as in the roller coaster or the wave.
Okay, I'm fine with that.
You hate the wave.
Hate the wave. I'm all right with that.
Here's some for some of the people that are playing in the sport. No longer allowed for competitors to not shake hands after a contest. Competitors to do trash talking before, during, or after a contest. Competitors celebrating a play excessively by beating on chest, pointing to the crowd, dancing, or a movement perceived to be drawing attention to oneself.
These are going to be the most dull games ever.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What's Cam Newton doing if he's playing in Wisconsin, by the way, right? And it just, I mean, it goes on and on and on. I mean, it's, you think like I've named everything there is, but you just can't believe how many criticizing teammates or coaches, for instance, not standing at attention during the national anthem or excessive talking, chanting, yelling, or movement during the playing, singing the anthem. Of course, throwing of any object by fans or competitors, damaging any property, attending the event inebriated, no bare-chested fans and body paint. I mean, it just goes on and on. So a lot of students in Wisconsin are protesting by putting up photos of them just all sitting together in black clothing with duct tape over their mouths, which is about all that's left, right?
Although that will probably be outlawed today.
Yeah,
yes.
No duct tape.
Duct tape, no.
One girls basketball player in Wisconsin tweeted something derogatory about the new guidelines and drew a 5-game suspension as a result of her tweet.
Okay, Wisconsin, you're raising a state of pussies. That's all you're doing.
A 5-game suspension?
Yes.
This is ridiculous.
Yes, yes.
Like, I didn't hate you enough after making a murderer. Now I'm just done with you, Wisconsin.
I mean, look, I understand that you don't want games to get out of control and you don't want it to be cruel and you there's no place for racism or things like that. I get the intention of the rules. But doesn't it seem like perhaps they've gone a little bit too far?
Way too far.
Yeah, way. I would say by about 75%.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I'm not – when I'm coaching high school – sports. God.
I'm sorry, what?
I'm not taking them to Wisconsin. That's what I'm telling you. It's just not, it's not worth it.
Can
no
you
fun.
Guys imagine being no. as a coach of a high school football team?
Nope.
That would be the best.
No, we cannot.
I would imagine that the K-Rock microphones were there. That's all I'm saying. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Abicho, shall we?
We have to start doing things that just make us look like we've got our act together here because we're all looking just really, really, really sloppy.
That's true. That guy speaks truth. We're going to talk to RJ Bell today. Because the playoffs are here. Talking right. NFL playoffs. 4 different games this weekend. Very excited about that. We are going to talk about unusual animal attacks. It seems like these are on the rise. And we're going to stay away from dogs and cats. Because that's too typical.
Okay.
We want something that's a little crazier.
You want like monkeys.
Monkey.
Dragon.
Yes, dragon.
Okay,
good.
Got it.
Excellent. That's what we're looking for. We are going to discuss the hashtag #OscarsSoWhite. On the program today. And as you know, we are very racially sensitive. So that's coming up. We also have Movie Beat because it is Friday. And Travis Barker will be in studio. One of our favorite guests of all time. That's this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
You hadn't heard it before, or
it is. It's a pretty new song.
Fundamentals.
Hey, you're not supposed to do that.
Yeah, I didn't do it to you because that's what you need to work on.
Shoot. Got an email from Erica. She says, "I teach in Anaheim. Our cheerleaders are not allowed to cheer against the opposing team when they are shooting free throws. Also, I am a volleyball coach, and our fans can't even stomp on the bleachers or heckle or yell when the other team is serving. These rules are making our kids soft."
Yeah,
amen.
Says Erica.
Amen, Erica.
It's time to bring back the gladiator events. I think that's what the kids need.
That's
right?
Probably the best idea.
They'll take it seriously if two men or one man leaves. Man,
put kids up against some lions. That's what we need.
Now you got them up now a little bit. That's right.
See,
man.
See, Bean's a problem solver.
He is. He's a man with vision, right. And his vision is by going back and looking 2,000 years in the past. That's how he moves forward.
Look, some good ideas are forever, Ralph. You know
that's
that.
True,
right? All right, time for our very first look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Friday. That sounds good. Morning, Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Before I get to the Showbiz, I want to give everyone their gifts.
Gifts?
Our gifts?
Yeah.
For what?
For the football playoff weekend. Here, I'm going to throw it to you. There's Kevin's. Nice hands.
Good catch.
Chips.
Alex. Your phone's kicking.
There you go.
Oh, my God.
Everybody's got a straw now. Everybody's
Thanks.
Got a straw with their helmet on it.
I have a straw with an Arizona Cardinals helmet.
Yeah, you do.
Pretty strong.
I have one with the Patriots helmet. Chip, what's yours?
Browns.
Yeah. Oh. I forgot who Chip liked, so I got her the Browns. No, I got her.
That's pretty awesome. Strong.
Yeah. That's what you get. It's about lucky why I went to 7-Eleven this morning. That's how lucky you guys are.
Wow.
I was like,
yes.
Look at that. Straws for everybody.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You're going to have to explain to Chip what the playoffs means, though. Like, she may not be familiar
After
with the word.
After the end of the regular season,
okay.
Chip.
Okay, uh-huh.
Some of the teams
take vacation,
right? And then other teams get together and they keep playing and keep playing, and they reduce their numbers until one person is left, and that person is deemed the champion.
That seems like overachieving.
I know, but it can be fun.
Chip's way gets more vacation.
From what I remember, it can be fun. So,
right, thanks, Ralph.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Ralph.
No, how much it hurt me to buy anything with a Patriots logo on it. But I was like, I don't want to leave the girl out because then she'll cry.
The girl will cry.
The girl will cry. You know how she is.
I'm right here.
Let's talk about show business news. Yesterday, we were talking about the fact that Nick Carter of the Backstreet Boys had been arrested in Florida in a bar fight. Now we have some more details about that. It turns out they showed up on a Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Keep that date and that time in mind.
Okay.
And were refused service because they were too loaded.
At 7 p.m.
At 7 p.m.
Wow.
That's when things got violent. Staff claims one of the guys tried to sucker punch an employee while Nick Carter grabbed the bouncer by the throat. You know, of all the people in the room you should grab by the throat, the bouncer should be at the bottom of that list. Both were arrested for battery, and so spent some time with Florida's finest down there. So
good times.
Poor Nick.
You sound so ignorant with your generalization.
Yeah, sorry about that, Ashley. Speaking of our heroes and how they have fallen, Peekaboo Street. Remember Peekaboo Street?
Skier.
She's an Olympic skier, yeah.
She was an Olympian skier. She is now cooling her heels behind bars in Park City, Utah. She was accused of pushing her 76-year-old father down a flight of stairs.
Oh, my God.
And arrested for domestic violence. Street's father told the cops that she became angry with him when his car, he was backing his car out of the driveway, and he nicked her house, hit her house with his car. After the two went back inside, Peekaboo grabbed his shoulders and neck and pushed him down some stairs during an argument, he claims.
He hit her house?
Yeah, I guess some people have walls on either side of their driveway as you come out, you know, and apparently he was trying to navigate it and scraped up against her house, and that made her very angry.
Mm-hmm. Can you imagine, though, holding in all that anger being named Peekaboo?
Right? All those years. Dad!
Yeah, she's ready to boil over. I think you're right.
For those who don't know, Peekaboo won a gold medal in the slalom, and apparently it's been all downhill ever since. Thank you so much. I'll be here all week.
Boo!
Oh, come on.
Not allowed to do that. Not allowed to boo.
You're being quite rude.
Can't hear.
A few more details about the Oscar nominations we talked about yesterday. I did not know this, but of course, we mentioned that Sylvester Stallone was nominated for Best Supporting Actor for his work as Rocky Balboa in Creed. If he wins, he will be in a small group of gentlemen who had won Academy Awards for playing the same character.
Oh, interesting. Hmm.
So, more than once. There's only been a handful that have even been nominated. Paul Newman was nominated for his portrayal of Fast Eddie Felsen from The Hustler, and that he reprised that role in The Color of Money.
Oh, right.
And only four other people had ever done that. Bing Crosby played Father O'Malley in a couple films. Peter O'Toole for King Henry.
And Paul Blart?
No. Oh, Al Pacino for Michael Corleone, and Cate Blanchett for Queen Elizabeth II. So, there's some trivia for you. You can use at your Oscar party.
But you're wrong.
No, I'm not wrong. And congratulations to John Williams, who picked up his 50th Oscar nomination yesterday.
Wow. That is mind-blowing.
You
right?
just said, wow. Ralph, that was a mistake. You just said 50th.
You heard me.
You mean 15th?
You heard me.
Wow.
50th.
He's won five Oscars.
That's not very good.
Right? That blows. Boy,
John Williams sucks. His winning percentage is way down there.
Star Wars, for Fiddler on the Roof, Jaws, E.T., and Schindler's List. But, yeah, congratulations to him as well.
Isn't that something
good at what he does?
Yeah. Most people in the movie industry, that's the highlight of your whole life, getting nominated for one Oscar, right?
Yes.
I would think so.
50 times. He doesn't even, there's no way he even gets up on nomination day. Like, he really doesn't care.
No.
Right? It doesn't.
Ugh,
it can't
really?
Mean anything.
Again, these losers calling me with their nominations and their Oscars.
Don't call me at home. Just send me an email. I'll get around to it whenever I can.
Just ship it to me.
I wonder if he even shows up anymore.
He orders his Oscars on Amazon. They come prime just overnight. Today's celebrity birthdays, Pitbull.
Oh.
Yeah, Pitbull.
Worldwide superstar?
Yale! Or whatever the hell what's he yell all the time?
Who cares? I don't know. I couldn't hate him more.
He's 35.
Yale!
Dale!
And he's Fireball. He's
that.
Yeah,
that's
it.
I don't know if you guys have ever
caught it with my music 110%.
You guys have probably never scanned the dial on New Year's Eve, but he's become the regular host on Fox Television, and he is just all hype. No content, no substance whatsoever. Just yelling. It's all he does. Maybe that's what they want for New Year's Eve, but.
We'll take your word for it, because none of us watch TV on New Year's Eve.
Got nothing
imagine
to say.
Being just sitting there, just surfing through channels on New Year's Eve.
It's Pitbull. He's all hype.
His wife out on a date. He's just sitting at home, put his feet up on a pig or something.
Well, that's like 5:15, 5:30.
Right. No, you're wrong. He's in bed before 8, but still.
I'm talking about watching the New Year's Eve shows the next morning when I get
up. Oh, I see. Sure. Okay. UFC fighter Alex Gustafsson. He's 29 years old today. DJ Skrillex celebrates his 28th birthday. And actress Regina King, one of our favorites here on the Kevin and Bean Show, 45 years old today. Are you watching the new American Crime?
Oh, my God.
I haven't started yet.
I haven't started yet either.
Start right now.
It's how many two are in. There?
Two, okay.
Quit your jobs now and go to your DVR and watch it.
Quit my job? Right now.
Yes.
Go.
Fundamentals.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Friday morning means Ralph's got the movie beat coming up in about 15 minutes or so. And don't forget, we got another chance for you to win tickets to go see the Clippers tomorrow night at Staples Center versus the Sacramento Kings. By the way, what was the number I heard? The Warriors, they beat the Lakers last night. They've won. They're 19-0 at home this year.
Yeah.
It's imagine going to see whoever your team is and they never lose. Every time you go, they win. What a fun experience that would be, huh? All right, we got to talk about the next president of the United States, Donald J. Trump.
Sit down.
I have become, look, it's too early for me to be fully invested. I have no idea who I'm going to end up voting for. I do know it will not be Donald Trump, and it has nothing to do with the fact that that he might be the Republican nominee. I voted for lots of Republicans, but I'm not going to vote for this guy. I've become fascinated with him because I've been watching his speeches lately. You see sound bites on the news and you go, all right, he's got the vocabulary of a fourth grader, but he's a populist and people find that refreshing.
He has the best words.
He does have the best words. I forgot about it. He has the best words. But watch 20 minutes of a Donald Trump speech.
No. Mm-mm. Why would we do that?
You just can't believe he just stands up there. He's so narcissistic. He's so fascinated with himself and his success. That's really what he's there to talk about, is how many people come out to see him, how great he's doing in the polls, how many jets he owns, how great his apartment is, how beautiful his wife is, how successful he's been. I mean, honestly, that's what almost all of his speech is. There's a little bit of belittling the other candidates and, of course, criticizing the president, but that's legit because he's running for president. That's what he's supposed to do. It's fascinating to me, though. He's already turning into a dictator in my mind. I mean, to me, he's Kim Jong-un at this point. Just like everybody has to bow down to how magnificent I am. There was a speech a couple of days ago. He was in Pensacola, Florida, and he decided he didn't like the sound of the microphone that he was using. Now, granted, this doesn't sound like a mic that's up to speed with the kind of mic you need for a large outdoor rally. Listen to the way he comes at the guy who set up the microphone. This is the next president of the United States.
$505 billion. We're going to lose that. $505 billion. And by the way, I don't like this mic. Whoever the hell brought this mic system, don't be the son of a bitch to put it in, I'll tell you.
This is a guy who's running for president who's berating a minimum wage employee who set up a mic as a son of a bitch and tried to get him fired.
So I guess you're against quality,
Dean. No, this mic is terrible. Stupid mic keeps popping. Do you hear that, George? Don't pay him. Don't pay him.
Okay.
Who's George? The promoter or something?
I assume he's the promoter, the guy who organized the rally or something like that. So now he's multimillionaire Donald Trump is saying, don't pay this guy.
Wow.
Who came and did this work. By the way, he's probably in a union, okay?
Sure.
Don't pay him because I don't like the sound of the mic.
You know, I believe in paying. But when somebody does a bad job like this stupid mic, you shouldn't pay the bastard.
You shouldn't pay the bastard.
This is a rally for a presidential. Yeah.
Yes. But he believes in paying, you guys.
He does. He believes a lot in paying.
Let's not misunderstand.
Terrible. Terrible. It's true. And you got to be tough with your people because they'll pay. They don't care. They'll pay. So we're not going to pay. I guarantee I'm not paying for this mic. Every two minutes I hear like boom, boom. Anyway,
look how much time he's spending. And do you hear the people laughing and cheering?
That's the terrifying part. People are like, more! You're great.
They really do find him irresistible.
Anyway, I hope it's okay for you out there, but it really is. Boy, you are real. Look at that. Look up there. It's packed up to the rafters.
Okay.
Man!
All right.
Holy mac.
12.
Ah, look how many people are here to see me. All right. So the other fascinating thing for me, and I think I mentioned this on the air yesterday, is Donald Trump does not have a speech when he shows up. He poo-poos preparedness. He just wants to wing it. He wants to get in front of people who he hopes to get to vote for him and just wing it, just talk from the heart. And that leads to some real rabbit holes that he goes down.
Now, the other day, if you see, and, you know, part of the beauty is of doing what I do. I have a very good memory, so I can do this. No teleprompter, right? Is there a teleprompter? This is like a magic. This is like a magic act. Is there a teleprompter? I saw Hillary the other day.
Okay. It's like a
what?
It's like a magic act. Look at me out
Look
here.
At me.
Just talking.
No teleprompter.
I'd love
I am magic.
I would love to see a video that somebody puts together of all of the compliments that Donald Trump pays himself. I have a great memory. Like I have the best words.
Donald
like
does love together. Donald.
He does love Donald. All right, so he's talking about Hillary Clinton.
Ba, 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 ba. Ba, 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 ba.
He's imitating Hillary Clinton in her speech reading off of a teleprompter.
Ba, ba. And the worst thing, she was outside. So, you know, and outside they paint them black on the back. You can't even see. So this whole half, it was the biggest screen I've ever seen. And she's going this way, that way. And I won't say, but I saw one of our Republican people the other day making a speech with a big, fat teleprompter. Anybody can do that, right? But one of, and I don't read the speech. The other thing, I have a couple of notes, right? The other thing, I don't want to sit here, da, 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 da. It's so easy. Of course, you know, after about two paragraphs, everyone's walking out. But one of the beauties of doing what I do, which.
He's supposed to be talking about why he's going to be a good president.
Is this a behind the scenes of what it's like to run for president, or this is actually he's trying to get voters?
This is a rally.
This is a rally. This is the speech. He doesn't spend any time. He's got no plan. He just rambles.
I think very few people do. A friend of mine said, you mean you're speaking in front of 21,000? This was in Dallas. You're speaking in front of 21,000 people and you don't have a speech that you're going to read? Because he calls me and said, I'd love to see your speech. Everyone's talking about it. I'd love to see your speech. I said, I have one. I speak from the heart. And it's true. I speak from the heart. I speak from the heart. And the brain, by the way. We don't want just heart, folks. We want brain. Ugh. Let me change it around. I speak from the brain, but I also speak from the heart.
Okay. We're out of time.
But one of the beauties is we can talk about things that took place 2 hours ago. Nobody's writing and speeches.
Okay.
And, you know,
God forbid writing. Nobody wants the writing.
Yeah, you don't want writing. I'm with him on that. Writing sucks.
And finally, and I saved the best for last, is yesterday, also in Pensacola, maybe 2 days ago in Pensacola, Donald Trump introduced the Donald Trump Jam.
The Donald Trump Jam.
That's right. This is his official presidential candidate theme song, authorized by the campaign, performed on the stage before the candidate comes out. If you guys haven't seen the video, it looks to me like the girls, they're dressed up in red, white, and blue, kind of cheerleader outfits. They look to me like they're about 15 years old, maybe. And you're not going to believe this song. You're not. Are you sitting down?
Yeah.
I hope you're sitting down. Here we go.
Cowardice. Are you serious? Apologies for freedom. I can't handle this.
Okay.
What? Wait.
Cowardice. Wow. Cowardice. Are you serious? Apologies for freedom. I can't handle this. That's where we're at so far.
When freedom brings, answer the call. On your feet, stand up tall. Freedom's on our shoulders. USA. Enemies of freedom. Face the music. Come on, boys. Take them down.
Any thoughts?
Is a South Park sketch.
So far.
Yeah, I agree.
This South is
Park.
South Park.
Comments
come on.
About
South Park Family
South
Guy.
Park. Come on.
What about the President Trump's speech? Anything
well,
about
we're
the
asking,
song?
We're asking you if it's a parody.
Oh, no. This is real. This.
No.
This.
No.
Listen.
More.
Listen.
More.
President Donald Trump knows how to make America great. Deal from strength or get crushed every time.
When I say
said earlier that he's Kim Jong-un. He's Kim Jong-un.
He really is.
This is
exactly
insane.
What you see in North Korea. President Donald Trump knows how to make America great, deal from strength, or get crushed every time. It even sounds like it was written in Korean and then translated into English, doesn't
hey,
it?
Hey, there's no writing, though, Bean. Don't be ridiculous.
All right, a little more. I know we're out of time, but please, a little more. Donald Trump jam.
Over here.
USA.
Over there.
USA.
Freedom and liberty everywhere.
Oh, say, can you see it's not so easy? But we have to stand up tall and answer freedom's call.
When does this become a jam?
I can't even. Oh. Right?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
With me.
Right.
Ralph Garman.
Yes.
We've already seen Star Wars. What now?
Well, here are some choices for this week on The Movie Beat.
In a world someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Hey, you have kids? Well, good for you. That's all.
Okay. That's it. Just yeah.
All right.
You're happy
moving
for
on. Maybe you want to take him to a movie this weekend. Well, your choice is Norm of the North.
Norm.
Displaced from his Arctic home, a polar bear named Norm and his three little lemming friends wind up in New York City. What? They're like fish out of water in New York City, I bet. It must be difficult for them to navigate that scenario.
You are all going to die tonight.
No, it's not a horror movie. It's an adorable animated film. And Norm becomes the mascot of a corporation.
Okay.
Sadly, he learns that corporation is contributing to global warming.
Whoa.
Oh, no.
And the fate of his homeland.
This is a message movie?
His fate of his homeland is in danger. What's he do then? What happens? What happens when you work for the evil empire? Well, take it from us, kids. It ain't fun. The voices of Rob Schneider, Heather Graham, Ken Jeong, and Bill Nighy all star in Norm of the North. Here's a scene from the film where Norm tells this little girl his plan to save the Arctic.
What's your plan here?
Well, Mr. Green wants to use me to sell the Arctic, and I'm going to use the Arctic to save it.
Exactly. You have to rally the public so that they love you, wait for your moment, and turn them against Green. Use his own plan to defeat him. But the key is to make sure you time your moment just right when the public loves you the most.
See?
Oh, my.
Norm's got a plan. Wow. He's a crafty polar bear.
Pretty strong message there in that 12 seconds.
There's a lot of messaging going on there.
Wow.
In fact, I believe Norm is a bipolar bear.
Oh.
And has to get some medical assistance for his mental health issues. So there's a lot to learn from this film.
That's great.
As well as joy for everyone. Moonwalkers! Moonwalkers! Moonwalkers. Story of an unstable CIA agent played by Ron Perlman, who tries to locate the legendary filmmaker Stanley Kubrick so that the U.S. government can stage the moon landing. Because it was fake, you see. We didn't really go to the moon.
Right. Mm-hmm. Never went. Right.
Never went. But he can't find Stanley Kubrick, so he ends up teaming up with a CD rock band manager played by Rupert Grint in this wacky comedy. As I mentioned, Rupert and Ron star in this film. Here's some clips from the trailer of Moonwalkers.
We've been planning our 11th Apollo mission to the moon in 10 days' time. We still don't have a clue whether the thing's going to make it or not. So here's the plan. Meet with Kubrick. Convince him.
You know, film a pretend moon landing?
Sit in there for 5 minutes and pretend to be Stanley Kubrick.
If you really want to go back to your boss and tell him that you don't have Stanley Kubrick and you don't have the money, we must be the only hope you've got.
Could this be funny, Ralph?
It could be.
Okay. No.
Wow. Ooh. Kevin.
No, it cannot.
You're being very rude.
It's true.
The Perfect Day also opens today. Benicio del Toro, Tim Robbins, Olga Kurylenko.
All right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Group of aid workers come together to resolve a crisis in an armed conflict zone. Here's some clips from the trailer of A Perfect Day.
We are willing to help.
He's gigantic.
We have to get it out and clean the well.
You cannot touch dead bodies.
The people here need water.
We can't get the body out. We got no rope.
You need rope? I know where to find.
We need to check if the mission still makes sense.
But first, we're going to get our friend out of the well.
You're not allowed.
Says who?
The United Nations.
I don't take orders from them.
It's not your responsibility to solve everything.
More messages.
What?
Get the dead body out of the water well. It's the message of that movie.
Okay.
Or who wants to drink dead body water?
That's a good point. I hadn't thought of it that way.
I mean,
it's a good point.
If, how many times have we said that? Don't drink dead body water. It comes up often on the show. The Benefactor is also in limited release. Richard Gere. Dakota Fanning.
Yes.
Gere plays a philanthropist who's meddling in the lives of newly married couples in an attempt to relive his own past. Here's some clips from the trailer.
This should have been me.
Is this Franny? Hello? I just got married.
Hey, I need you to do me a favor. Get drunk with me.
You got all this money and you can just breeze in. You don't have to deal with any of the problems.
I just want to know what he wants from us.
You need to get help, Franny.
This should have been me.
We don't need you.
You are jealous and you're weak.
You can't even take care of your family without me.
Ah! Nope.
Be wary of handsome men wielding money.
That's
right?
The message.
That's
in
the
this
message
one.
In that story.
Right.
Then we got Ride Along 2.
Okay. We are going by Kevin's Allen Bullet Advantage.
Is that you, Kevin Hart?
That's the message from that film. Ice Cube and Kevin Hart reteam as brothers-in-law who are cops bringing down drug dealers. And shooting and stuff. Come on, you don't really need a synopsis of this film, do you? You're not going for the plot.
Yeah, true.
You're going for the yucks and the bullets, right?
That's
right. Who's with me?
Kevin, you saw the first Ride Along, I'm sure. How was it?
It was yucks and bullets.
Yucks was it good? I mean, did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it was all right.
It's the name of Kevin's autobiography, by the way. Kevin Hart accidentally shoots another cop in this scene from Ride Along 2.
Down, man! Alonzo,
holster your weapon. They're cops.
You better drop it.
Put your gun away.
Put it down, Castro.
Drop it!
Down, okay? You put it down.
And we're good.
Hi.
What the hell?
Again?
You've done this before.
I don't know what to tell you, James.
Okay, I'm on edge.
God, killers!
My nerves is bad, man. I told you to focus.
You think I meant to do it? I thought he shot. He didn't shoot. No shot.
Oh, my God. He a zombie. Headshot. Yo, yo.
Just, Kevin's laughing at the trailer. That's all you need. That clip. Kevin's can barely hold in his laughter.
Does Kevin Hart have an inside voice?
No. That is his inside voice.
Okay.
Yeah. And lastly, from the creative mind of Michael Bay, comes 13 Hours, The Secret Soldiers of Benghazi. Look, ordinarily, Michael Bay's name alone would enough to make me run in the opposite
direction.
Scares
me a bit, yeah, because it's all special effects, usually.
However, this movie is all about blowing stuff up and running around and stuff. And as far as I can tell, there don't seem to be any robots in it. So I think we might be safe.
All right.
This might be the story that Michael Bay is meant to tell. John Krasinski stars. Pablo Schreiber is also in it. James Badge Dale, David Denon. Story, true story, of course, of an American ambassador who's killed during an attack at the U.S. compound in Libya. And a security team has to make sense out of the chaos. Here are some clips from the trailer of 13 Hours.
How willing are you to die for your country? I'm ready to go right here, right now.
We need immediate assistance.
States under attack.
Let's go! We gotta move!
If you do not get here soon, we are all gonna die.
You have a U.S. ambassador at risk.
The ambassador is in his safe haven. You're not the first responders. You're the last resort. You will wait.
None of you have to go. But we are the only help they have.
We have 36 American lives to save.
Right?
All right.
USA! USA, you fundamentals. So those are your choices for the weekend. I hope you enjoy. Kevin, I hope you enjoy Ride Along 2. Let us know what it is on Tuesday.
If I have time. 13 hours is my first choice.
If you have time.
Yeah, you know, I'm busy.
I know. Your schedule is just loaded up.
Very, very busy.
You got that wine tasting this weekend.
Not really doing that, no.
You got your archaeology club.
No.
You have a dig this weekend, don't you?
No.
Are you guys getting some fossils?
Nope.
Then just go see them.
I'm just going dancing with Rodney. That's my plan for the entire weekend.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie Beat.
We got to get Ralph Garman in here for
I don't
this,
think we
way.
Need to get Ralph.
We don't
need you. You're not needed for this.
Ralph.
Right here.
Oh, come
here
on.
I am.
Did I hear?
Here
and
I am right
and,
here.
And I overheard a little bit of this conversation yesterday. So, Ralph, you need to bring me up to speak.
Okay.
Kevin, our man Kevin, as you know, worked 3 days this year and then took a week's vacation.
Well, right, he was exhausted.
Well, by the way, I'm taking off Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday next week as well.
So he went to Barcelona,
which
is one of the world's greatest cities. Did I hear you guys talk about Kevin going to a 2-star Michelin rated restaurant in Barcelona?
Yes.
Look, here's the beauty. Awfully rich for his blood.
Here's the beauty of traveling is that you get, first of all, to see some great stuff. But secondly, you get to taste some of the great cuisine of the world. You get to enjoy flavors and culinary experiences that you couldn't get anywhere else. So I, for one, was thrilled that Kevin was expanding his horizons a little bit and went to a 2-star Michelin-rated restaurant.
Now, how many stars are there?
The Michelin Guide for Restaurants, it rates everything from 0 stars to 3 stars.
Oh,
three is the best that you can get.
Okay.
There's only about a little over 100 3-star restaurants in the world.
Okay.
2 stars are a little bit more common, but still, it's considered by Michelin and the people who rate the restaurants to be worthy of a trip out of your way to go visit that restaurant because the food is so extraordinary. The experience is so special that it's worth going out of your way to get to that restaurant.
See, this is why I was so surprised to hear this because Kevin, in my mind, and we haven't traveled much together, but is either an in-service, you know, a room service at the hotel or fast food on the road. That's
right.
Usually Kevin. Like, he's not going out of his way to look for a fancy place.
I don't mind.
It's a brand new Kevin. It's a new Kevin. It's a new world.
Yeah.
This is a new Kevin for a new year.
Well, I didn't go by myself to the city. Mm-hmm. So my wife wanted to eat someplace nice, so she planned it.
Okay.
So what restaurant did you go to? Which 2-star did you go to?
It was the...
What was the name of the
House of Barcelona.
The House
he
of Barcelona.
He has no idea where he ate.
You have no idea the name of the 2-star Michelin-rated restaurant that you went to.
I will tell you this.
By the way, which is a rarity. There's probably maybe only 2 or 3 of those in all of Barcelona. Maybe just the one.
Okay.
It's a special.
I did have
special
to put on my
event.
Big boy clothes, if that's what you're saying.
Yes, you
I did.
I'm
dress
sure
up.
You did. You had to put on long pants to go into this restaurant.
And a jacket and everything, yeah.
And if you don't remember the name, what is their specialty? What do they do there?
Yeah.
Their specialty actually is dessert, which is why I was in.
Okay.
The guy comes up to the table and says,
okay, hold on. The restaurant's specialty, a 2-star Michelin restaurant, their specialty is dessert.
2-star, 1-star, I don't know. It was a Michelin-approved whatever. Yeah, here's what happened. The waiter came up to our table.
Sure you weren't at a tire store?
Maybe. Yeah. The waiter came up to our table and said, we have a lot of great things, but we're known for our desserts, so I would order those now so that we have time to make them. And then they took us back in the kitchen to watch the pastry chef make these desserts. It was unbelievable.
Right. Oh, so dessert, great, fine.
Okay.
But what did you order from the main menu that was a standout, that was an experience that you'll never forget? I'm sure there must have been some.
The sea bass was amazing.
Some dishes that you had.
First of all, the menu, not in English.
How rude.
Well, you're in
right?
Spain.
Oh.
So what am
Spain.
I supposed to do?
Okay.
So I don't really know what much of it is.
Right.
Uh-huh. Your waiter spoke English, so you could have asked him to translate.
I don't think he did very much at all.
Oh, okay.
I don't think very much at all. But anyway, so I go where I go. This is my safety zone. Kids menu. That's where you go.
That's the point of the story, is that Kevin was at a 2-star restaurant in Barcelona and ordered off the kids menu.
Well, only one thing, but it's mac and cheese, and you know I love my mac and cheese. And
no.
By the way, let me just say this. Maybe the best mac and cheese I've ever had. It was really great. Really great. Second only to Slide Bar in Fullerton.
You're at a 2-star restaurant and you're ordering off the children's
menu.
Well,
I mean, I did order mac and cheese.
You ordered more than
and
that.
Then, yeah, Kevin. And then I ordered sea bass
no,
and a
you
couple.
Didn't.
I did.
No, you didn't.
What do you mean, no, I didn't?
We asked your wife.
Were you there?
We asked your wife to surreptitiously bring out her phone and record the transaction between you and the waiter at the restaurant.
What?
And we have the audio.
Son of a bitch.
And it turns out you ordered exclusively off the children's menu, and you're a tragic figure as well.
Senor, may I recommend tonight the caviar? It's excellent.
No, I'm just going to be ordering off the children's menu. How sweet is your Shirley Temple?
Oh, an excellent choice, sir. It is known to put people in diabetic comas.
Excellent. I will have two of those, my good man. Also, I would know. Are your pigs in the blanket gluten free?
No, sir. I'm sorry.
Good. I love gluten. I'll have an extra side of gluten with the pigs in the blankets, and the individual sized pizza, the pepperoni child pizza. Can I get extra cheese and extra pepperoni and extra pizza?
But of course, sir.
And your mac and cheese, is it made by any mac?
But of course, sir.
Great. And then for the entree, I will have just... Do you have just a bowl and you can put pancake batter in it and chocolate and give me a crazy straw?
Of course, Mr. Ryder. It's a pleasure to serve you, sir.
Thank you. And if you could... And please, can you bring me a slinky and have the band play Pop Goes the Weasel?
Sounds like a good time.
Yeah.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54.
Our friend RJ Bell, founder of pregame.com in Las Vegas, was 3 out of 4 against the spread in his picks last week for round one of the NFL playoffs. We'll see if he can make you some money coming up when we talk to him about this weekend just after 7. Rob is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Speaking of football, I did give out NFL straws to all my friends here on the show this morning.
Very nice.
Everybody got a helmet straw. Kevin got a Cardinals straw. Chip got a Dolphins straw. I gave Dave a Falcons straw.
So you were you didn't want them to feel bad because they're already out of the playoffs. You went ahead and got the Dolphins.
I got an Eagle straw. They're out of the playoffs. I got Allie a Patriots straw, and listener Edwin writes in and said, please tell Allie that you can use the Patriots straw not only to deflate footballs, but it has a mini spy camera so you can spy on other people's drinks.
I used to really like Edwin.
So there, that's got...
Oh, no, he's 100%.
It's got more advantages than just being a straw, Allie. Allie, what you sipping? It's our new segment.
Yeah. Ralph, we mentioned it very briefly, and I don't want to go off on a football tangent.
Okay.
What is up with Bill Belichick's black eye? I mean, really, like, what happened to a 60-year-old man that would give him a black eye? He wasn't in a fight.
Wrong to the Chiefs.
Yeah, right, exactly. That's his
no
answer.
Information from
None.
Him.
Couldn't he just dismiss the whole thing by just in one sentence telling us what happened?
Of course he could. But where's the fun in that?
Yeah, why would he?
Where's the mystery?
Because he likes being the emperor.
He likes being the man of mystery.
All right.
Tomorrow he should come out in like a full neck brace and a crutch.
It's just in traction.
They just get worse and worse and worse until they just wheel him out of game day on in an iron lung. They just let him just rest there on the sidelines. All right, let's talk showbiz news. Leonardo DiCaprio apparently made a best buddy on the set of The Revenant. National Enquirer has a story saying people on the set said he constantly fawned over his co-star Tom Hardy, admitted to Tom to having a man crush on him for years, and in front of people called his beauty exceptional. My goodness.
Yeah.
You got a match made in heaven right there.
And swipe right.
Tom was apparently shocked and pleased by the compliment and even blushed on set when Leo gushed over him. So.
Ooh. I mean...
Emotionally.
Yeah.
Not physically. The Red Power Rangers, badass.
What?
The Red Power Ranger is a badass. You heard me.
Is that still a thing?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Has been for a long time. Ricardo Medina Jr. is back in trouble. He played the Red Lion Wild Force Power Ranger on the TV show. He got into an argument with his roommate over his girlfriend on January 31st of last year, and then stabbed that roommate with a samurai sword to death.
Oh, my God.
Oh, dude.
Now, he was arrested, but later released on grounds of self-defense. However, the police rearrested him yesterday on murder charges.
murder.
Wow. Apparently some new information came to light, and he could be facing up to 26 years in prison if he's convicted.
Wow.
That's a bad way to go, samurai sword, by the way.
Is it?
Yes. It would not be my choice.
Yes, I'm letting you know now. Thank you. I know you might think otherwise, but I'm telling you it's not good. No word on whether he'll be released on bail or not. Judge Rita Repulsa, apparently.
No.
Has denied him bail. See, because she was a popular villain on the Power Rangers TV series, Kevin.
You're being quite rude.
Yeah, you're right. I am. And congratulations to American Idol star Adam Lambert. He has been added to the cast of Fox's upcoming Rocky Horror Picture Show production. He will play the role of Eddie. Originally played, of course, by Meatloaf in the original feature film. So far, Laverne Cox has been cast as Dr. Frankenfurter. Victoria Justice as Janet. Ryan McCartan as Brad. Reeve Carney as Riff Raff. And Staz Nair in the title role.
You're just saying words.
His name is Staz
Nair.
No, no. There's no one named Staz Nair.
Staz Nair.
Come on.
Will be playing Rocky.
But seriously, who?
Staz Nair.
Better known as...
Staz Nair.
That's his nickname, but his real name is...
Staz Nair.
Okay. He
was like somebody with a cleft palate.
He was on 2012's X Factor.
See?
He's in the upcoming season of Game of Thrones.
Boom.
He's a model, actor, and singer.
Staz Nair.
Staz Nair is his name.
Staz Nair.
All right.
Okay.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Skrillex is 28. Alex Gustafson of the UFC is 29. Pitbull. Dolly is 35. And Regina King is 45 years old today. Let me tell you something about Regina King, about this lady. Could not be a better actress.
Yeah,
and
true.
If you see her from season one to season two in American Crime, you don't even think it's the same person. That's how much of a chameleon she is. Her role in this new season is as sort of a rich, entitled African-American woman who dotes over her son and is just helicopter parent who just micromanages his life on every level and just starts to unravel when things go bad at the high school where this kid attends. It's going to be a great season. Can't wait to see the rest of it. 45 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
2 hours from right now, Travis Barker will be joining us in studio. Very excited. Love him.
All right. Last week here on the Kevin and Bean Show, about this time, we talked to our friend RJ Bell, founder of pregame.com in Las Vegas. He was 3-1 against the line with his picks for the wild card weekend. We're going to see how he does with the divisional round this weekend right now. Hit it, Steve. 'Cause he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell. Welcome back, my friend. How are you?
Hey, guys. Let's keep it going.
Yeah. Hey, this is going to sound like it's out of the blue, but who has the best buffet in Las Vegas?
Oh, this is easy.
That's out of the blue, Bean.
Listen, you might think, and I think it's true, I have some expertise when it comes to sports betting.
Uh-huh.
But when it comes to the buffet eating.
Right. That's your area.
That's... Well, it's my love. It's you know, this is my business. Buffets, my love.
No, right. Just a name.
I do enjoy a good buffet, and this is unequivocal.
Okay.
The Bellagio.
The Bellagio buffet.
Yeah. Now, listen, there's others that are more expensive.
Okay, all right. Listen, Bellagio's good. We're fine with Bellagio.
So I just got very passionate.
Right, I'm just saying I don't want to get off on a tangent because we do have football games.
Well,
to talk about.
I'm thinking of going to see my dad. I want to take him to a nice buffet.
Ask your dad.
Listen,
email RJ. There are a lot of ways to get a hold of him.
Here's my thinking: is the week between the Super Bowl, that off week, the whole segment can be buffet.
Okay, fine.
Okay. All right, I like it.
Kevin is purple right now. He's so angry.
I couldn't be more excited about this weekend, RJ. You've had a great run here on the Kevin and Bean Show the last couple of seasons. So let's get right into the divisional round. And we start with Kevin's Arizona Cardinals. They have the Green Bay Packers coming to town. What say you, my friend?
We got time for this?
Yes, we do.
Okay, good. All right.
Well played, sir.
We're going to go in reverse order of confidence. This is my least confident game. I'm not betting this game. But I would go with Arizona laying 7 here. Last week, Green Bay, they won. They looked really good. And the casual fan is thinking, okay, Aaron Rodgers, he's back. This is what we expected from him. But remember, it was the Redskins, and it was a very inexperienced playoff team, Washington was, obviously, and it showed. Now you've got Arizona, a team that has experience in the playoffs and has had a really good season. They lost three games the entire season, Arizona, and each of the three, they were minus three in turnovers in that game. You cannot win in the NFL when you turn the ball over that much. So, yeah, if they somehow turn the ball over a bunch, they're going to lose this game too. But they only did that three times out of 16 games. You look at Carson Palmer, his last 31 starts, he's 26-5 in these games. And here's the last thing that really makes me not want to bet Green Bay. Vegas is telling us by this line, they don't want Arizona action because they could make this line 6.5 and still get a lot of the recreational bettors betting on Green Bay, but they're afraid of the professionals banging Arizona at 6.5. So Vegas doesn't want Arizona, which means I'm going to lean that way, even though we do have to lay 7 points.
All right. So that is your least confident pick for the weekend. Next, we move on to the Patriots versus the Chiefs. Allie, you were saying they got some good news this week. They got some guys coming back, right?
Yeah, but then yesterday, injury report came out, and Gronk has a bad knee and all of a sudden a bad back.
Wow. So, they have been so banged up, RJ. Yeah. How are you feeling about this one?
Third most confident Patriots, though, here, laying 4.5 is the side. And I'm probably not going to bet this one, but it's close. Is Kansas City, they've won 11 straight games. I mean, I don't care who you're playing, because that's the rationale. Oh, they haven't played tough teams. 11 straight's impressive. And amongst those 11, they covered 8 times against the spread. And remember, when you're 8-3 against the spread, it's not some abstraction on a piece of paper, some stat you read on a tweet. Rather, a lot of people, millions of people, have won money betting on Kansas City. They've lost money betting against Kansas City, which means they're inclined right now to bet Kansas City. And Kansas City is really good on the road. Last 26 times away from home, they've lost only 7 against the spread. And you've got the Patriots. This is a team, when they lose, and they've lost the last two, they tend to bounce back. When Patriots are off a loss as a favorite, and then the next week they are playing a winning team, they actually are 15-2 against the spread. So not only is this the playoffs, but the Patriots are looking to bounce back, so you got max motivation. Here's the main reason, though, I like the Patriots is, yes, the skill position players generally are coming back. I think Gronk's going to be fine, but that's built into the number. Everyone knows about that. Here's what they don't know. The Patriots, when they had these players absent, it affected their play calling. They were extra conservative because they didn't have a ton to play for. They were going to get a bye regardless, it seemed. Thus, they ran the ball a ton. They protected Brady. So not only getting these players back has better skill position players on the field, it means Belichick and Brady can start passing the ball again, which they really haven't done very much. That's the key. Patriots favored by 4.5.
We're talking to RJ Bell in Las Vegas with pregame.com, exclusive odds provider for the Associated Press. And we have your number two most confident pick of the weekend is one that the line is changing this morning. As we're speaking to you, you're adjusting this one, right?
Yeah, and this is just earlier today, Antonio Brown, Steelers wide receiver, maybe one of the best wide receivers in the league, most certainly out now. He's out with a concussion. Oof. That's moved the line up to Denver favored by 8. We're going to go the other way. We're going to go with the Steelers. Remember, this line being all the way up to 8 isn't just about Antonio Brown. That moved it from 7 to 8. But it's about Big Ben being less than 100%. Maybe he'll play, maybe he won't. I think he'll play, but he's certainly going to be less than 100%. If Denver and Pittsburgh played with everyone healthy, Denver would be like a 3-point favorite, maybe even less. So this line has already built in Big Ben being limited. Now, you've got a situation with the Steelers' defense. You look at them and you think, okay, they've played really well lately. Remember, though, they've played backup quarterbacks for 6 straight weeks. They've played a backup. So I think a lot of stuff makes the case why Denver's a big favorite. But here's why I really, really think Pittsburgh's the side. Denver just doesn't blow teams out. This is going to be a low-scoring game. The over-under total is 40, which assumes combined points is going to be about 40. That means a low-scoring game. And if you're getting over a touchdown in a low-scoring game, that's very attractive. Check this out. Denver has won 39 games since the start of the 2013 season. 13, 14, 15, so three seasons, they've won 39 games. The first 30 of those games, 27 of them they won by a touchdown or more. So only three times they didn't blow the team out. Now, though, in their last nine wins, they've only won by a touchdown or more three times. So this is a team that's become a defensive team. They aren't suited to lay a lot of points. So I like Pittsburgh plus +8.
All right, and the final game of the weekend is the Carolina Panthers versus the Seattle Seahawks, and this is the line that has been so confusing to us, RJ. We were talking to Jim Rome about this yesterday. Carolina was 15-1 in the season. They had a bye week. They're playing at home. They couldn't look any better. Why aren't they favored to blow out the Seahawks?
No, you're right. This is a shocking line, and the professional bettors are on Seattle. I disagree. I think Carolina, best bet of the week. I'm betting it. Favored only by 1 point here. And you make the case. It just doesn't make sense what this line is. Now, listen, let's give Seattle credit. They've been awesome as an underdog. Last 24 times they've been getting points, they've lost against the spread only five times. And Seattle was really surged late in the season. Obviously, they've made the Super Bowl two straight years. They won it 2 years ago. In December or later, they're 23-8-1 against the spread the last five seasons. But they're not a very good road team. I mean, even during their very best years, they haven't been a great road team. And now this is the third straight road game for Seattle. That's a big advantage for Carolina. Plus, we all saw it. Very physical game in 0-degree temperatures last week. That's another negative for Seattle. Carolina off the bye. Here's the key, though. Who's the better team? Carolina, even if these were even teams, should be favored by 3. If you look at the all-NFL team that just came out, where they say who's the best player at each position, Carolina has 6 players on the all-NFL team. Seattle has 0. What I think this is about, the fact the line is saying Seattle is better, is about the helmets. It's about Seattle's emblem, the logo, the fact they've been to 2 straight Super Bowls, and Carolina hasn't done anything like that. I think the pros and the public are getting caught up in the Seattle mystique, but if you actually look what happened on the field, Carolina is at least an equal team, if not slightly better. They should be favored by 3 or 3.5. We only have to lay 1. Best bet of the week, Carolina.
RJ, you said Seattle was in the Super Bowl 2 years in a row, and they won 2 years ago. I forget last year. What happened last year?
All right. I believe that's been covered.
Do you remember?
I think that's been covered. I think we all know. How can
we
all know what the reference that RJ was making was.
Let me Google this. I'm not sure exactly.
All right. RJ Bell wants to make you some money. Again, just recapping. Arizona Cardinals -7 versus the Green Bay Packers. You got the Pats -4.5 versus the Chiefs. Steelers up to +8 versus the Broncos. And the best bet of the week, RJ says, the Panthers -1 versus the Seahawks. You can see this and so much more at pregame.com. Follow RJ on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. Have a great week, man. We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks, guys.
Cousins RJ Bell. RJ Bell. Yes, he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell.
All right. I have two people that I want to tell you about that are Powerball related in the news this week, and I want you to tell me which one you hate the most, okay?
All right.
As we all know, the Powerball jackpot was won a couple of nights ago. 3 winning tickets sold, splitting $1.6 billion. None of the winners have come forward yet, by the way. Person number one, her name is Cinnamon Nicole. She lives in Cordova, Tennessee. And she has started a GoFundMe page because she spent all of her money on Powerball tickets to try to win. And now she can't afford to pay her rent.
Okay.
Please help me and my family as we have exhausted all of our funds. We spent all of our money on lottery tickets expecting to win the $1.5 billion and now are in dire need of cash. With your small donation of at least $1, I'm certain that we will be able to pick ourselves up from the trenches of this loss and spend another fortune trying to hit big again down the road. Please, won't you help a family in need? Donate now is part of what her GoFundMe page says. So she blows all of her money, and she wants people on the internet to reimburse
it's
her.
It's possible. It's also possible that she just made all this up, right?
Yeah. I mean, I guess I am. I don't know that it's been independently verified. In case you're wondering, by the way, her Powerball reimbursement page, as of last night, had received more than $800.
Mm. Wow.
All right. So she's person one, Cinnamon Nicole. Person two is the son of a woman who works as a nurse at the Park Avenue Health and Wellness Center, a nursing home in Pomona. He called his mother and said, "Mom, you won the Powerball. You know the tickets that your boss gave you? The guy who runs this clinic has 15,000 employees in 80 healthcare facilities. He bought Powerball tickets for all of them."
Wow.
How awesome is this boss, by
the
way?
That's pretty cool.
He bought 15,000 employees Powerball tickets.
And this nurse won it?
This nurse was told she won it by her son. He called and said, "You won." And he went so far as to send her a picture of what he said was the winning ticket. Allie, you saw those on the internet all over the place this week, right?
Right.
Photos taken at the facility show the employees celebrating the woman's apparent stroke of luck. The news came out yesterday. It was all over social media. TV stations were reporting that she did, in fact, win. She's 62 years old, by the way. She has six children. She even finished her shift at the nursing home after learning of the win.
Oh.
As the day wore on, it emerged that these early reports were false. The whole thing was a prank pulled by the nurse's son.
Oh, my God. You've got
to kill him, right?
Well,
you murder your son.
I know, Kevin, I was especially interested in your opinion because I know that you love pranks.
Yeah, I do.
Is this an excusable prank to do to your 62-year-old mother?
Not even a little bit.
No.
No.
That's and
ridiculous.
We're both children of nurses.
Correct.
They might be some of the most wonderful men and women on the face of the earth. This son, I would do to him.
The spokesperson for the owner of the nursing home said that if it is indeed the case that someone has pulled a prank, this was yesterday before it was confirmed, if it is indeed a case that someone has pulled a prank on her, that is reprehensible. She is a wonderful lady and an incredible employee. So would this be legit to do to a friend or a coworker? Is the problem that it's your mom? Is that what hurts
That's
so much?
A big problem.
Yeah.
That's a huge problem. But the other thing is, maybe you prank your friend or whatever, but you let them know really quickly that it was a joke, it was a prank, and that it's not real. You don't let it keep going.
Like, the fact that this woman finished her shift, like, what a great woman. What if she walked in, she's like, "I quit this bitch!"
Yeah, that's what I would have done.
Right?
F you, you're cool, I'm out. And now your kid says, "Oh, you didn't really win." You go, "Hey, I'd like to come back to work."
Now, I don't know how long the whole process took from the time he made the phone call to the time it was revealed that it was a prank I'd love to know how he told his mom. Like, after all of the excitement you should see these pictures from the nursing home. Everybody is just hugging and high-fiving and thumbs up, and they're all just so happy that one of their own won this thing. And then the a-hole son's got to call and go, "Oh, Mom, I was kidding about that whole ticket." But, I mean, we're in a week this week where the media are starved for information on who the winners are. So this just took off like wildfire as soon as it went up online that this lady had won. People were everywhere, all over the world, were excited about it and talking about it. And then the whole thing turns out to be not true.
So you're asking us who we hate more?
Who do you hate more?
The kid.
The son, for
sure. The kid is way worse than the lady who's
by
got...
By far. Because the lady that says that she spent all her money, she's an idiot. And you don't have to help her in any way.
Mm-hmm.
But this poor woman, this poor nurse. Holy cow.
Thank God nobody had a heart attack, right?
Right?
I mean, seriously, you tell old people that they've won the Powerball, that has to be a risk.
Can we start a GoFundMe page for that nurse so she can retire?
That would be nice.
And also take out her son?
Mostly murder the son.
Okay. Yes. I have heard that it is hip to clip. Is that true, Kevin?
That is what people say. Yes, Bean.
The Los Angeles Clippers are red hot right now. They're taking on the Sacramento Kings at Staples Center tomorrow night. If you want to go, we have tickets for you for caller 20 right now at 1-800-520-1067. See some big-time professional NBA tomorrow night in person. 1-800-520-1067. And don't forget, get your favorite Clipper on the All-Star team. NBA All-Star voting is open at clippers.com/all-star. Use hashtag NBA vote in all social media with your favorite player's name. That counts as a vote. Good luck.
Sylvester Stallone is nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah.
Let those words sink in for a second, by the way.
how long?
Is it all sunk? Everything?
Yeah.
Everything?
Uh-huh. Yep.
Weren't there some times in the last 40 years where it seemed like perhaps Sylvester Stallone's, and I mean no disrespect to this, but his best work was behind him?
Yeah, I think a lot of people thought that.
Listen, he made some crap.
Yeah.
Right? But he won the Golden Globe last weekend for his appearance in Creed, and now he is nominated for an Academy Award, nearly 40 years after being nominated for an Oscar for playing the same role in the original Rocky movie back in 1976. What a thrill ride. We wanted to find out what it's like for the Academy Award-nominated Sylvester Stallone, and he joins us on the phone on K-Rock right now. Hey, Sly.
Am I on the air?
Yes. You're on the air.
You're being really rude, you know?
I'm not trying to be rude. I'm just saying.
You're being rude. I come on the show, you know, talk about everything. You're like, oh, isn't there a time when you think Sylvester Stallone's career was over?
Well, I mean, he did start by saying that, but I think it was just.
Nothing's over!
Okay. I didn't mean any disrespect. I'm just saying. In the 1990s, it kind of looked like maybe your best roles were behind you, and this was really quite a comeback, this film.
Oh, meaning no disrespect.
You thought my
career was over in the 90s.
Right.
Well, how could I take that as disrespect, you know?
Right, sure.
Hey, listen, you know, I'm out there fighting a good fight. You know, mm-hmm. I'm going to fight the fight.
Right. Okay.
I'm out there, you know, working hard and, you know, doing everything right. And now, you know, now I get a little something for me, and, you know, you said, oh, this career's over, you know? Well, it's not over.
No, it's not over at all, and I have a great deal of respect for what you've accomplished, and I hear that you are great in Creed.
Well, you hear that I'm great in Creed? You haven't seen the movie?
I've seen the movie, and you are great in Creed.
Thank you very much, one guy. But the other guy's like, hey, I hear that you're great. Why don't you go see the movie, you know? It's everywhere. You go see movies. Everywhere you go is a movie theater. Just go see the movie.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I did miss it, but I hope to catch up. So what are your plans for the Academy Awards? I mean, it's been a long time since you've been nominated. What are you going to do? What's going to be different this time around for you, Sly?
Well, I'm going to wear a suit.
Okay.
And I'll probably be driven.
Mm-hmm. Right.
In a limousine.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure.
And then, you know, hopefully that I'll be, you know, accepting the award for the film, you know.
Well, at the Globes, you forgot to thank basically a huge part of the movie, the kind of the reason you did the reboot. Don't forget him. Michael B. Jordan.
Michael B. Jordan.
Right.
He was great.
He was great.
Yeah.
And I got excited in the moment, and I forgot to say, you know, congratulations and whatever.
Okay.
But I will absolutely do that, you know, absolutely.
Okay.
If I win this time. But more important for me is the future of Rocky Balboa. Because what it shows me is that everybody still loves Rocky. So I'm going to make another Rocky movie.
I don't know that that's the best.
Different from the Creed movie. I'm going to keep going Rocky movies, you know? Because I thought the character, you know, was over, but it was like, no, we love Rocky, and here's an award, and you're great and all. So why don't you do more Rocky movies? That's what I'm hearing in my head, you know?
No, I think they love the fact that it took this different turn.
So my next Rocky movie is going to be me. And I have a doctor, right? Like a big, like, Russian muscular doctor who says, you know, oh, you got cancer. You're probably going to die. I'm like, let's take this in the ring. And then I fight the doctor in the ring. We put on the gloves, and then we have a big fight.
No.
The Russian doctor.
You don't fight the doctor.
Yeah,
the doctor,
I do. That's the great thing. It's in this movie, it's Dr. Deathoslav.
Okay.
And I got to get back in the ring, and I got to train again, you know.
Okay, but if you beat him, is the cancer gone?
Yeah, that's what the thing is. It's like we fight over cancer, okay? So, you know, Rocky's beat Val Creed, Rocky Clever Lang, Rocky beat Drago. Now Rocky beats cancer, see?
Yeah, but you can't box cancer. That's not how...
Yeah, but I do box cancer. That's the thing.
Right, but that's not realistic.
But you're missing the point. You're missing the point. Did I fight cancer and beat it in a ring?
Okay,
I literally beat up cancer.
I heard you say that.
Listen. Everybody hates cancer, okay? So they see Rocky beat up cancer.
Right.
Then it'd be like, there'd be so much money at the box office for that, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Plus, you're 70. You shouldn't really be boxing anyone.
Five. I'm fighting cancer, but I'm literally fighting cancer.
We heard you say that.
I think you're missing the point here, right?
All right.
And then cancer like starts to beat me up, like, oh, the cancer, it's hard for me to swallow. And, you know, it's like, it's hard for me. And then, like, the third or fourth round, Rambo shows up, right?
What?
I played two roles in this, and Rambo's in my corner, and he's like, oh, cancer! take that, cancer! And then Rocky and Rambo team up.
Oh.
Team up, and then we fight cancer, and then the Grim Reaper shows up.
Okay.
And he's like in the ring, like, oh, I got a big, pointy, sharp cutting stick.
Right.
And then it's Rocky against cancer, uh-huh. Rambo against the Grim Reaper.
Okay.
Oh, it's going to be great.
Are we still all, is this one movie that you're describing, or is it a
No, it's
a series.
One movie.
One, okay.
And 3D IMAX.
Okay.
Like, laser light show.
Right.
And, like, 4D, maybe.
I feel like maybe
like
you're Rocky.
And smell-o-vision. Like, okay. There'll be a lot of different special effects as well, too, as well.
Yeah. You've been hitting the head too much, Sly. That's what's happening here.
No, 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 no. And the Grim Reaper is played by Harrison Ford.
Okay, all right.
Are you saying Twitter should be taken away from me?
Yes.
Fundamentals.
And a microphone as well. Ralph is here. Time for our next look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Friday morning. Kevin DeBean Show, what's going on?
I want to give everybody a heads up. Tonight at 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose in Hollywood. Kevin Smith and I once again take the stage for Hollywood Babylon, our show, which covers all things popular culture. And tonight especially, it's going to be an interesting night because we're going to have Kevin talk about Alan Rickman and his friendship with him. And they're working together on Dogma and that experience. A lot of great stories that will be told as we pay tribute to Alan. And it's going to be a funny show as well. It won't be all just sad and sentimental, but there's going to be some
of that. You sound so ignorant with your generalization.
Yeah, well, that's true. I do talk about dead people generally. come on out and see us tonight, 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose. You can go to improv.com to get your tickets.
You're being quite rude.
Well, that's very possible, Ashley. I miss Ashley.
But you're wrong.
I'm wrong to miss her?
Am I on the air?
Another day, another reality dating show in the works. This time from producer Mark Burnett. Creator, of course.
Is it Jingles?
Survivor and The Voice. And
we don't want to hear about it if it's not
and
Jingles.
Shark Tank. It is not Jingles, sadly. Deadline.com is reporting that this one will have a bunch of men and women who are matched up on basis of instant chemistry. Then they will be banished to the Caribbean, where cameras will follow them and see if they were actually meant for each other or not. Haven't we seen variations on this theme already
60
many times?
Look,
I think Mark's a smart guy. He's the king of reality television, but this just...
Tremendous track record.
But this, right?
But he does have some big fails, too.
He also had... Pirate's Gold or whatever. Remember that? Where the pirates had to be on a ship and they had to try to get into the chest and get doubloons? Do you remember that?
No.
No.
I don't.
Well, you're lucky. It wasn't called Pirate's Chest, but it was something like that. It was Cutlass Island or something. I can't remember. So that's going to happen.
I think there is definitely a sense of disappointment.
Yeah, I do too. A Broadway show about Bill Gates and Steve Jobs is in the works.
Broadway show.
A Broadway show about Bill Gates and Steve Jobs. It's going to be a musical. And the producers say the production, which will be called Nerds, will be a musical dot comedy. Musical dot comedy.
I already hate
musical
it.
Musical dot comedy. Dot com. Because these two gentlemen were very influential in the computer realm.
Mm-hmm.
So dot... musical.comedy.
Get it?
Uh-huh.
It will include onstage holograms, projection mapping, and there will be an app that will allow the audience to interact with the set and other audience members, as well as choosing how the show will end.
Oh, that's so much work.
That's a lot of work.
Look,
for a night
you
at the
entertain
theater.
Me.
A lot of work.
What's happening with that?
For a night at the theater. That's all happening in April at Longacre Theater in New York City. You can check that out if you're so inclined.
Nope.
Elton John paid tribute to David Bowie during his concert Wednesday night at the Wiltern Theater here in Los Angeles. Hollywood Reporter says Elton revealed that he loved Bowie's tune Space Oddity so much that he hired the producer from that song to work on what would be his breakthrough single in America, Your Song.
Wow.
That producer ended up staying with Elton for most of his albums, including all of his big hits in the 70s. So as tribute, Elton played an instrumental version of Space Oddity and then slid right into his own Rocket Man, which was a nice 1-2 punch.
I have a little edge if you want to hear
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
This is Ground Control to Major Tom.
That doesn't sound instrumental
That's
at all.
That's Elton John.
You really made the grade. And the papers want to know whose shirts you wear.
Whose shirts you wear. It's done. Delete the capsule. If you dare.
I love that tape.
Here am I sitting. In a tin can far above the world. Planet Earth is blue, and there's nothing I can do.
I like it.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Skrillex.
Get a haircut.
28 years old today.
Seriously, get a haircut. Whatever you
are.
Choose.
Hey, you kids, get off my lawn.
Hey,
take it easy up there. Long or short? You can't have both.
Wouldn't being a gynecologist be the worst?
Who cares what Skrillex's hair looks like?
If you're going to be a doctor, that's the one I do want to be. What's wrong with being?
Oh, I think it would be awful.
Best job ever?
Because vaginas scare Bean.
Oh, that's true. I forgot about that.
Well, they are frightening.
Terrible
places.
About his experience with vagina dentata. I forgot about that horrible incident.
Come on, man. You know how. They have teeth. You know that.
You literally said
my
this morning.
God.
Oh, I think that'd be the worst. How could that be the worst?
Look, we can't get very far down this road.
I'd like to get too far down that road.
I think you say that, Ralph, based on
my love of vaginas?
No. Young, healthy vaginas that you have had enjoyed over the years. That's not what's walking through the door day after day in a gynecologist's office.
Most
my God, stop talking.
No, my point is this. In your life, Ralph, you get to choose which vaginas you get close to.
Right.
The doctor does not.
Right. So worst case scenario, you're getting a random bunch of vaginas. That's the worst case scenario.
Why is this happening?
Do you want old people vaginas? Is that what you want?
Old, young, whatever. What do you got?
All right. I'm just saying.
Whose vagina hurt you?
All of them, really.
I'm just saying, why don't you say less?
I'm just saying it sounds like a...
I think there's a lot worse. I think there's a lot worse doctoring you could do. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
As Allie brought up.
Right? Proctology.
Proctology mm-hmm. would have to be at the bottom of the list.
Bottom of the list. Because it's your butt.
I think ear, nose, and throat would be gross on a regular basis. Best case scenario. Let's take the best nose that you have to look up with a scope. And then put it against an average vagina. So the vagina wins.
Yeah.
I don't look up anybody's nose.
But
how great
Bean.
Can the nose be? Versus how great the vagina can be, is all I'm saying.
Sunshine on my
vagina
makes me happy.
Right. That guy's in.
Pitbull's 35 years old today. Alex Gustafson of the UFC is 29. Actress Regina King is 45 years old today. So good on American Crime. If you're not watching that show, first of all, shame on you. But secondly, catch up. It's going to be brilliant this year. First two episodes are already just knocking out of the park. We should talk to that Lily Taylor.
Oh, I love her.
She's terrific, and she is just blowing the doors off this show this season. Tim Hutton, Regina King, just a great cast this year.
Tough topic, but it is a tough topic. Well done.
But it's not done salaciously, and it's really about the backstories of the people much more so than it is the actual
incident itself.
Is it better than Bean talking about vaginas?
No. Well, what could be? That's going to be next season, American Crime. American Crime, Bean's Vaginas. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
1 hour from right now here on the program, we welcome our old friend Travis Barker back to the show.
Love Travis. He's got to be one of the busiest people we know.
Yeah, agreed.
So he's got a million things going on. So excited to catch up with him. Plus, why can't a black man win an Oscar? That's all coming up here on the Kevin Beach on K-Rock.
First, let's talk about when animals attack. These stories fascinate us. And we want to take your calls in a minute at 1-800-520-1067. We had, when was it, a couple months ago?
Yeah.
Raccoons?
Oh, yeah.
The raccoons in San Francisco, there was an area where they didn't want to go outside after 11 o'clock because raccoons would attack.
Yeah, there was a gang. There was a marauding gang of raccoons, sometimes 10 or 12 deep, that were jumping on people. And by the way, you'll recall, we took a bunch of calls from people who have similarly been attacked by raccoons.
Yeah. They're insane.
Not uncommon.
So we want to take calls from people who have been attacked by animals, excluding cats and dogs. We figure enough people have been hurt by them. But any other animal, this is the story from San Francisco.
Patty Upsav says she and her husband went out Monday night to let their dog get one last walk. And that's when a raccoon pounced.
So I started swinging the dog around, trying to get it off.
Then a pack of raccoons attacked.
Right, let me just back up. Is your first thought swing the dog around?
Nope.
Okay. And then I got another one on my other leg. And so at this point, I'm in the middle of the street, and I look up to see where my husband, how come he's not helping? And I look, and he's throwing. Raccoons are just jumping on him.
The struggle lasted a few seconds until their neighbor, Brian Wong, came to their rescue with his golf club.
Running down the hill.
Going,
down the hill. like a crazy man going down the hill.
Wong says he used his club to bang on the garbage cans that were left out for trash collection night.
So here's what's weird. What's weird isn't just that one raccoon attacks. Mm-hmm. It's that there are two on one person and two on another person.
Oh, yeah. That's coordinated.
They're organized.
Right.
Right. They probably have some kind of... You know, radios, they go back and forth and signals, and
the
they all...
very least a phone tree.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And again, we want to take your calls if you've ever been attacked by an animal that's not a cat or a dog, because I see a lot of animal stories with people who think they're playing with something that's fun or cute or harmless, and it's not. How about, can we move on to the catfish story?
Sure.
The catfish story, this is kind of what started the whole thinking, because here's a lady, I think we're going to get some news audio here in a sec. Here's a lady who is swimming in Brazil on vacation, having the time of her life. And the next thing you know, a catfish is embedded in her stomach. Now, when I first heard this story, I thought, what? The catfish like swam into her mouth or something? No, the catfish is on the out. I thought the catfish was inside her.
Right.
Like those fish that go up your penis?
But you think she was swimming regularly?
Wait, I'm sorry. Bean, you said what?
Uh-huh.
The fish that go up your penis. Yeah. That's a thing that happens in South America.
What?
That's the real thing, but that's not this story.
I thought that's what happened with this lady is somehow she ended up with a catfish on the inside of her stomach. No. The catfish is on the outside of her stomach. Why is that a big deal? Because it's got spikes in it, and it impaled her, and they could not be removed. It's like a fish hook in your stomach. So you're swimming along on vacation, having a great time. The next thing you know, you have a catfish embedded in you.
Catfish may not seem like a predator to fear in the water, but a beachgoer in Brazil learned her lesson the hard way. The woman had to undergo surgery after a catfish got impaled in her abdomen. The ambulance team that responded to the call removed the body of the fish, but left the serrated pieces that had pierced through her skin to prevent further injury. One of the members shared on Facebook, "She was in a lot of pain. We didn't remove the spine because only a doctor can do this." Catfish are armed with barbed spines as a defensive mechanism. The rough edges typically cause more tissue damage when removed.
Oh, no! This is a colossal disaster!
Oh, my God.
Did you know that catfish, which I just think of as a harmless fish that you catch and eat, did you know that they have weapons?
No idea.
That was a shock to me. And by the way, this lady in Brazil is in the news this week. I saw another video of an American woman that had happened to a couple of months ago, and a friend of hers was waving a catfish around, a dead catfish around.
And I think it was dead.
You know, like you do.
Like you do. Just playing on the beach with this fish. And the next thing you know, the same thing ended up happening. It ended up being embedded in her stomach. And there's this whole long video of her friends trying to remove it, not realizing that it was basically hooks that went inside of her flesh. And they couldn't just pull it out. I mean, very serious. The last thing you expect to do when you wake up in the morning is get attacked by a catfish.
I'd say that's accurate.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's second
that. 1-800-520-1067. What animal have you been attacked by? Not a dog, not a cat. Let's start with our man Nick in South Pasadena. Nick, welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show. What's going on, man?
Yo, guys. So I'm teeing off on Harding and Griffith Park golf course.
Right.
And it's downhill, you know, and it's just beautiful, beautiful morning. And me and three buddies, and so we're all okay, you know, we hit our balls down there, and we see, like, by the green, it's like out of Bambi, seen out of Bambi, you know, it's like a mommy deer and her little baby deer, and they're right by the green.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so we hit our balls onto the green, and then all of a sudden, like, out of an insurance commercial or something, there's this giant male deer with a giant rack. And I guess it was his family, and he thought that, you know, we were going to eat him or something. And then he just went off, man. It was like we went on the green, and he was, like, coming at us. He was on the green. He would not allow us to putt our balls. And we literally and figuratively had to, like, leave our balls right there on the first green. And we just took off. We didn't finish the hole. We all just gave ourselves two putts. I mean, I think that's what you do.
Sure.
I mean,
that's the rule. It's in the rule book.
Yeah, when a deer stands in the way.
Yeah, we didn't get physically accosted, but if an animal's being a bully to you, right. I feel like that's counter being attacked. I mean,
right? You were intimidated. I understand, Nick. Yeah.
Yeah, we paid for 18 holes and we only had to play 17 because this guy thought we were going to eat his baby. I mean, I tried venison. I don't like it.
I'm with you, Tommy Lee.
Understood. Right. Thank you, Nick. We appreciate the call. All right, let's try Jason, line 5, please. He's in Newport Beach. Again, no dogs, no cats. When animals attack, what went after you? Jason, welcome to the show.
Thank you, guys. It was not fun. I was 12 in Australia, and I got beat up by a kangaroo.
A kangaroo?
Because they box.
They do box. This one did not have gloves, though, so... Oh. It was a little kind. It was kind of scary. It was a little scratchy.
Was it at a place?
It was all cute. I was feeding it.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden, this thing just started boxing me.
So, like, it lands a punch. What did it hit? Your face? Your body? What?
Yeah, because I was 12, so I was about the same size as this thing, and it started jabbing me. It was like through a right cross, got me to the left foot.
Got you an arm bar.
Oh, they're not going to punch wasn't even a punch. I guess what they do is they turn around and they hit you with their tail.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that. I have heard that. So what happens? Are there people who work at the place where the animals are and they come and, like, they separate you, too? You have to go back to your corners or what?
Yeah, absolutely. They were all cheering them on. They were, like, rubbing them down. It was great.
What? You got a cut man in the corner?
Kangaroos attack you, guys. Thank you, Jason. We appreciate the call. All right. We got to take a very quick break. We got raccoons. We got goats. We got squirrels. This is going to be fun. Give us a call. 1-800-520-1067. Don't forget, if you can't get to the phone, you can always text your story to the number 2-KROQ. That's 25767. We'll be right back on K-Rock.
911, do you need police, fire, or medical?
I need help in my house. A bear attacked.
Okay.
I am on 911.
Where are you at, sir? All right, stay on the line. Stay on the line. We'll transfer over to medical, okay?
Okay, that's a bear attacking a lady in her house is what's going on right there.
I feel like the last thing he wants to hear is, stay on the line, I'm going to transfer you.
Yeah.
No. When they do that, they've already dispatched 911, the emergency services. I mean, the ambulance is already on the way. Then they just try to talk you through whatever your problem is.
They don't ask you again for all your information because it's a new person.
Start over. That's not how it works.
Everywhere else.
Could I get the spelling on your name, sir? I'm sorry, I didn't get it. All right, so we're talking about when animals attack. We had that story about the swimmer in Brazil who got attacked by a catfish. We just had a caller who was run off a golf course by a deer. Tanya writes in, I was 5 or 6 sitting in the barn waiting for my friends to come out, and their Shetland pony walked over to me and bit me under my neck.
Oh, my God.
just under my ear, bit by a pony. That's the last thing you expect when you're a little girl. Like, that's supposed to be the best time of your whole life is when you get a little pony come up, right?
Bad little Sebastian.
Right, exactly. So, man, we got some great calls here, Kevin. Where do you even want to start? What animal are you in the mood for? You want a fox? You want a crow? What do you want?
Let's start with multiple crow attack. Let's start with Dave and Menifee. Hi.
How's it going, guys? Good morning.
Going well. Good morning.
Hello, Allie.
Hi, Dave.
You were attacked by what, sir?
I was attacked by two crows.
Two crows?
I was about 10 or 11, and I just got home from school, and I was in the living room watching TV or something, and I heard this ruckus on the front porch, and so I opened up the front door, and there was two crows. Like, they were kind of, like, laying awkwardly on the front porch. They weren't, like, sitting there. They were kind of, their wings were open, and I didn't know what was going on, so I opened up the screen to look at them. And one of them flew up and just went right in my face, started pecking me, and then the other one came at me and started flapping its wings at me, and so I backed up into the house, and as I went to the house, they came into the house with me.
No!
Dave!
This is no
I wish there was video of this so much.
I started swatting at them, and finally I was able to get them back out the door and kicking at them because they landed on the ground. And then they both just flew off like, okay, we're going to the next human now. We won.
Wow.
Were they playing dead? Like, they had this planned.
Well, as I grew older, I kind of thought about it more, and I was thinking, well, maybe they were either fighting themselves or I don't know how birds have sex.
Yeah, they were doing it. They were doing it, and you interrupted them.
And I bugged them, yeah. And so it was terrifying.
You do not interrupt a crow boner. You do not do that.
I feel like this one's on you, Dave.
I kind of feel like that, too, as I grew older. When I was younger, I didn't think nothing of it. But as I grew older, I felt really bad for interrupting their.
All right. Wow. Thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that. Let's go to line six, please, in Fontana. Brian, you wouldn't expect to ever be attacked by this animal. Brian, welcome to Kevin Amicho. What's going on?
Hey, party people.
Hi.
Hey, my brother and I used to go to a little fishing area in Ranch Cucamonga called Guasi Park. And there used to be, like, ducks and, I mean, everything you can think of that flies, you know, seagulls, fish. Obviously, fish don't fly. But there was geese. And we wouldn't feed the – they always tell you don't feed the animals. And we'd be fishing. And my brother was fishing one day, and one goose, like, came up and started honking at him and everything like that. And my brother would, like, kind of kick his foot around, like, get away, get away. And then it left, but then it comes back, and it's got like five or six friends, and they all start honking at him, and they all start pecking at his ankles, and my brother's wearing shorts and sandals, and these things got teeth, and he's got like a little bloody ankle because these things keep honking and biting his damn feet.
And you were videoing it?
I was videoing. My mom was laughing at him. Everyone was like, I can't believe this is going on. People are watching. Like, crowds are coming around.
That is fantastic. Attacked by geese. They just seem so safe, don't they, when you see them
out
there.
That he went back and got his gang, though.
Yeah.
Right.
That's hardcore.
They're mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding. Thank you, Brian. Appreciate that. Let's go to Nicole, line seven, please. Nicole is in HB. Welcome to the Kevin Amicho Show. What attacked you, Nicole?
Good morning.
Hi there.
I'm terrified of squirrels because I've been attacked or chased by seven different ones.
Did you say squirrels?
And did you say seven?
Squirrels, seven.
Oh, yeah. My God.
So what really did it for me against squirrels, never again, is I was living in Oregon at the time, and I was walking to my first final as a freshman, and all of a sudden I see something out of the corner of my eye, and I look over, and literally straight out of a movie, it comes flying at my face. It's stuck in my hair. So it's biting me, scratching me on my head.
Wait, a squirrel jumped out of a tree on your head?
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think? What do you think is going on? I mean, look, most of us have never been attacked once by a squirrel. You've been attacked by seven different squirrels. Clearly, you're attracting them somehow. What's
up? You gotta switch up your shampoo.
Or something.
Right?
The one that came out of the tree, I think a bird might have hit it. Because, yeah, I don't know. I really don't.
You think a squirrel jumped out of a tree, then a bird hit it, changing its trajectory, and then it landed on your face?
I think the bird hit it out of the tree.
Okay. All right.
Follow that. Seemed difficult.
You need to stay in your house, Nicole. Yes, stay inside. That's all there is to it. Thank you for the call. Listen to this. This was a text. Excuse me. This is on Facebook. Marco writes in, I was once attacked by a group of peacocks. These sons of bitches are no joke. They came in after we left the door open to get a breeze. Five peacocks came in. I had to chase them out, but one of those assholes wouldn't leave. He jumped onto a high ledge where I couldn't reach. I came armed with a broom, and then it was go time. The mother effer jumped at me with those talons of death, flapping her wings and making insane noises. I proceeded to run like a bitch and decided eventually to just let the peacock keep the room. So apparently that's a serious attack right
there.
Wow. All right, let's go to Kate Los Feliz. Again, an animal that seems pretty passive. Kate, what happened? Who attacked you?
Hey, everyone. So I have actually had two separate incidents with goats.
Goats. Two incidents.
Yeah, so the first one was when I was, like, five. My parents took me to a family friend's farm. I liked animals as a kid. It was a really cheap and easy way to keep me entertained. And I was, like, you know, 3 foot, maybe 60 pounds as a five-year-old. I was kind of chunky, whatever. But so I went to pet the ram, the oldest ram. It's got, like, the full turn. You know, this is the big guy in charge of everything. And I went to pet him, and they were like, oh, he's not super friendly. Why don't you pet the nice ones over here? He went to the other side of the yard and got a 100-yard head start.
That goat hated you.
And no one saw it until he was, like, about 5 feet away, and there was nothing they could do. He caught me full in the stomach. I was flat on the ground.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So fast forward to I'm 16, and I'm a volunteer at the zoo. And they've got a petting yard, and there's goats in there. And I've never kind of fully trusted goats after that first incident.
I would say
understandable.
Yeah, and so this one goat comes over and kind of starts sniffing my hand and starts licking my hand. And I go, okay. And they're like, no, it's fine. Goats don't have top teeth. So even if they start chewing on you, they can't actually bite you. Well, except for the molars in the back of the mouth, which is how it got me.
Oh, my God.
Bit down, drew blood. I had to go to the nurse at the zoo, and they literally started laughing when I told them it was a goat that bit me. They were like, there's no way. It doesn't have top teeth. And I was like, then how do you explain the blood on my hand?
That is fantastic. Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it so much, Kate. All right. I am so sad, but I think we're out of time.
Can we pick one?
Come on.
We have potbelly pig. We have jellyfish. We have a fox. We have a wild turkey. We have a raccoon. We have a rooster.
I love them all.
And I want to go to line six.
Yeah,
I'm thinking of our guest. Okay, all right.
I want to go to line six and talk to Mingo.
Hey, hi. How's it going?
Very good, thank you. How are you?
Good. I got attacked by a penis monkey.
I'm sorry?
What's a penis monkey?
Did you say a penis monkey?
This wasn't just your priest's penis and he called it a monkey?
No. I don't know what kind of monkey it was.
You mean like a rhesus monkey, or what are they called?
Like a cow?
I don't know, but its penis was always hanging out, and it was flaccid, and it was tied to a tree in Mexico when I was about 10 years old.
Oh, so it wasn't a type of monkey. Literally, you're just saying he had a penis, and it was a monkey.
Well, his penis was out. Like, it was like 3 or 4 inches hanging out, like, all the time.
Okay.
How are you feeling about this decision, Kevin, to go to Mingo? What do we say so often? Why take one call when you can take one call too many?
I'm happy with it.
Our friend Travis Barker, due in studio with us in about 20 minutes. So much going on with Travis. Can't wait to catch up with him. Also excited about Kelly Carter on the phone. She is a former senior editor for BuzzFeed Entertainment and entertainment editor for Ebony Magazine and has just been announced that she is part of ESPN's The Undefeated, an upcoming digital site on sports, race, and culture. Ms. Carter, thank you for joining us on The Kevin Bean Show. How are you?
Thank you for having me. I'm doing very well. How are you guys doing?
Very good. Thank you.
Great. And let me tell you why we reached out to you. We watched the announcement of the Academy Award nominations along with everybody else yesterday, and it didn't take long before we started seeing all over social media the hashtag OscarsSoWhite. And it wasn't lost on us or anybody that watched it. For the second year in a row, there are 20 acting nominations, and none of them were people of color. And we started talking about that off the air, and we thought, man, we need to talk about this on the air and find out, is this a systematic problem, or is this just a year where there were just so many great performances that not everybody could get in? But we kind of felt like we had a voice missing in the conversation, so that's why we wanted to reach out to somebody who might be approaching it from a different perspective, who's probably been following it more closely than we have, and you're who we ended up with. So thank you for coming on with us.
I'm flattered that I'm the voice you guys reached out to. I do think that it's a systematic problem. It's one that, you know, the Academy is well aware of, and they're trying to rectify. It just is a slow-going process. You know, Cheryl Boone Isaacs is the president of the Academy. She's an African-American woman, and it is her mission to kind of diversify the voting body for the Academy. And you know, last year she inducted a number of kind of marquee names that it was almost surprising that they weren't, you know, a part of the voting body before. You know, Asian women, African American women, you know, Latino actors and directors, so on and so forth. But then I think the biggest kind of grievance with this year's nomination is that two feature films were made that represented the Black experience, one that was kind of a stark difference from what we normally see actors of color, Black actors specifically, get nominated for. You had Straight Outta Compton, which, of course, you know, kind of set out there in L.A. About the rise of N.W.A.
Right.
And kind of, you know, directly reflecting probably some of the narratives that's happening right now in some of the larger urban cities in the country. And then you also had Creed. Both were very well-reviewed films, and both did very fair, you know, at the box office. And I think that it was almost a slap in the face that the two nominations that those films got weren't for any of the African-American participants. And again, two of the most distinctly African-American stories, you know, that came out in 2015. You know, you have a nomination for Sylvester Stallone, who was phenomenal in Creed. It was such a great moment for him, but I would venture to say that Ryan Coogler, the director and writer, co-writer of that screenplay, should have gotten an adapted screenplay nomination. I think that what he did and his kind of, you know, play with language was fascinating. And I was shocked that he actually didn't get that nod. I just knew he was going to get it. And I think with Straight Outta Compton, you know, F. Gary Gray, I think Universal campaigned very, very hard to get director F. Gary Gray a nomination or best director, or best picture nomination. They were probably, needless to say, based off of some social media accounts that I follow of people who work at NBC Universal, a little bit disappointed that didn't happen. They also were probably expecting Jason Mitchell, the kind of newbie who plays Eazy-E in that film, to get a supporting actor nomination. They campaigned very, very hard for him to get that nomination as well.
Well, I mean, but Kelly, the argument would be, who do you take out of those categories? When you look at who was nominated for Best Supporting, you know, for any of these categories that you talked about, I mean, you've got to bump somebody to put somebody in. And there was a lot of great work in 2015. It was a good year for movies.
There's a lot of great work, quite frankly, in every year. And I think that's always going to be an argument. You know, it's like if you think that fill-in-the-blank actor should have gotten nominated, well, who do you take out of that equation? The thing about acting is it's a lot of it is subjective. You know, it's an apples and oranges thing, so it's difficult to say, you know, should Eddie Redmayne, who is a brilliant actor, not be nominated over someone else? I mean, the answer is always going to be no. I mean, this is the kind of thing that will break up families over a dinner table coffee. so it's like I don't think that the big question is who should be taken out. I think that the bigger question is how much more diverse does that should that voting body be in order to kind of reflect the movie-going audience. And I think that also was something that played a big role in this year. I think a lot of people were prepared, you know, with kind of statistics and were armed with facts like, you know, the movie-going audience is roughly 50% African-American, but yet the organization that represents Hollywood as an industry is not reflective of the audience that, you know, supports them. And I think bigger than that, too, and I don't want this to be lost also, is that when African-American actors get nominated for roles, it usually is at the expense of American history and the uglier side of American history. Now, I don't think that anyone is ashamed of that history, because no one should be. It was something that none of us living right now, you know, contributed to or controlled. But I think that it sends a certain message when, you know, Lupita, brilliant actor, turned in a phenomenal performance in 12 Years a Slave, but are those the only roles that are getting recognized? Why not a role about, you know, a boxer fighting the odds? I mean, it certainly happened in 1977, you know, when Sly Stallone, who was a newbie on the scene, got nominated for the first Rocky versus Michael B. Jordan in Creed. So I think that people were kind of prepared to have those conversations because there wasn't a 12 Years a Slave or a film like The Butler or even a film like Fruitvale Station. Again, all films that kind of deal with the uglier side of life when it comes to telling African-American stories.
Kelly, let me ask you a qualifying question. It seems like, and this is the part that bugs me, it seems like in these categories where there are no African-Americans, blacks nominated, it is automatically because of racism. And I don't think that's necessarily true. Do you think that?
I don't think that it's true when it comes to strictly voting off of what's presented in front of you. I think the problem starts back in boardrooms with which films get greenlit and which films get support. I think that's actually where the racism potentially comes into play. You know, again, remember, I mentioned there were only two feature films about, you know, the African-American experience that were greenlit and made in 2015. Two films. You know, that actually seems crazy when you think about it. And these aren't two films that exclusively were representative of 100% cast of African-Americans. Certainly, you had Paul Giamatti, who was brilliant, and Straight Outta Compton, and again, Sly Stallone, and Creed. So these aren't like, you know, we're not even saying that these are films that have to have every single person on the crew and every single person in front of the camera has to look a certain way. I think that the problem is when stories that feel like North Philly and Creed or Compton and South Central and Straight Outta Compton that are very much black stories, that are very much talking about kind of the evolution of people of color in this country get made, and then there are only two of them that happened that year. I would venture to guess there were so many scripts and screenplays that didn't get made and didn't get greenlit because Hollywood is very concerned that that films featuring primarily black casts don't do well overseas, and that's such a huge market, and that's something that comes up every time, you know, a film about a black figure like Selma, you know, last year comes up. How well is it going to do in the UK market? And that's a little bit unfair question because the truth is Hollywood is primarily only interested in making tentpole films, you know, like The Avengers. The Avengers, of course, is going to do well in Tokyo. Straight Outta Compton may not do as well in Tokyo as The Avengers, but it's not designed to be, you know, a film that has action figures you can buy at Burger King, too. You know what I mean? And make, like, money in the aftermarket. So I think that the racism problem in Hollywood, or the race problem, because I don't know if I want to throw an ism on it, but it is a race problem. The race problem exists in the decision-makers' boardroom. It doesn't actually exist in, you know, when you get a ballot and you kind of vote, because you vote based off what you have. If you only have two films out of hundreds and thousands of films to pick from, of course it's going to get diluted in that process.
Right. Gotcha. Well, obviously this is a discussion that is ongoing, and it's probably slow changing. I mean, you made some reference to they're trying to diversify the Academy. It's something like 95% white or something like that. And the average age of the Academy voter, I think, is 62 years old, too. So yes. I think it is going to change. It'll take a while. But here's the stat that I saw yesterday that I just want to leave people with. Who, if there's anyone out there who says you're making a mountain out of a molehill, over 87 years of the Academy Awards, there have been about 2,900 nominees. 44 mm-hmm. of them have been black.
Yeah.
When you put it in those terms, you know, it's understandable why this question is being asked and why the Oscars So White hashtag showed up. Kelly, we're going to have to leave it there. We appreciate so much you coming on. And once again, you look for Kelly's work, among other places, on ESPN's The Undefeated, coming soon, an upcoming digital site on sports, race, and culture. We appreciate the time. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
It is 8:53.
Kangaroos can't jump backwards, but they can nail you with their tail.
Yeah.
That's what we learned from a caller earlier today. Ralph, do you hear those animal attack stories?
Yeah.
It was crazy, right?
That's why we got to start killing more animals, I think is the moral of the story. Because it's really
us or them.
I don't feel
like saying
we
at
need
all.
To eliminate the threat.
I feel like in about half of those
Sit
stories.
Down.
Oh, no.
About half of those stories, it was the listener's fault.
We need to ban all the animals from coming into the United States of America.
And how would you do that?
Because that's what we do. We build a wall to keep all the animals out. Because the animals are, until we can figure out how to handle this animal threat, we need to ban all the animals from the United States of America. That's what's going to make America great again. That's what I do. I ban animals.
Sit down.
that's a great point, Mr. Trump. And by the way, let's not forget.
USA.
Right?
USA.
Come on.
USA. The land of the free and the home of the brave, USA.
That's a real thing, people.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's
if you Trump's came to me and said, Ralph, we have to go on in 3 minutes, make up a new song to the tune of Over There, just with patriotic lyrics, I would go, the home of the free and the brave, you. That's what I would come up with in 30 seconds.
That's Donald Trump's new theme song.
President Donald Trump knows how to make America great. Do from strength or get crushed every time.
You got to deal from strength, Ralph, or get crushed every time.
That's what I know from 14-year-old cheerleaders.
It rhymes. Oh, wait a minute.
All right, Travis Barker at 9. Until then, got some Ralph Garman for you.
Tonight at the Improv on Melrose in Hollywood, Kevin Smith and I will take the stage once again with Hollywood Babylon, our show that we do there on an almost weekly basis.
No.
Love to have you come out and join us. We have a recurring segment in Hollywood Babylon called the Tinseltown Stiffs, where we talk about all the celebrities who have passed in the course of the week.
Oh.
We're not going to have time for anything else.
Wow, no kidding.
It's maddening. Stop dying, everyone. Let's all
you're
stop
being
dying.
Quite rude.
Let's stop dying for a minute. Can we just catch our breath?
I'm not positive you're selling Bowie. Your show very well.
Then we lost Alan Rickman.
Right.
Now, news breaks this morning, Grizzly Adams has passed.
Grizzly Adams.
Dan Haggerty. Grizzly Adams. He was a frontier man whose best friend was a bear, Kevin.
TV's Grizzly Adams, Kevin. What aren't you hearing?
He had like a log cabin.
Right.
Okay.
And
you're putting him
the best beard in history.
Okay.
It was a powerful beard.
It was a powerful beard.
Is he as important as, say, Bowie?
No, I'm just saying.
Right. I'm sure to some people he was.
No, to no one he was.
His family might have.
He passed away at the age of 74 this morning. Again, another victim of cancer. This cancer thing
is
getting on my last nerve.
By the way, we haven't even mentioned, not a big name on his own, but certainly well-known in the entertainment industry, Celine Dion's manager and husband, who died yesterday, also of cancer.
Yeah, but he kind of deserved it.
What?
Why did he deserve
Ralph?
It?
Because he unleashed Celine Dion on us. Right?
Ralph.
Right?
He met her when she was 12. When she was 12 years old, he met her.
Yeah. Right?
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like that. He's married to somebody else.
Sure. No, it wasn't like that at all. Because he didn't end up marrying that 12-year-old girl at all.
Like 20 years later,
wait a minute.
He ended up marrying her.
Yeah. Bide your time. That's the moral of that story. Just sit and plot in the weeds.
Okay. I'm just saying another cancer death yesterday on top of all the ones you already mentioned this week is pretty crazy.
I'm just saying.
Ralph can make anything terrible.
I'm just saying Grizzly Adams. Can we just forget about Celine Dion's horrible husband for a minute and focus on Grizzly Adams?
Okay.
From a TV show in the
70s.
Doesn't matter when it was, Kevin. It was Grizzly Adams.
Right.
How many bear friends do you have?
Zero. Right. Is that a point?
Point for Grizz.
Okay.
No points for you. I am loving this TV musical thing, this TV musical trend.
You're loving.
But you're wrong.
You're loving watching them or just talking about them?
Both.
Okay.
I mean, I wasn't crazy about Sound of Music. Ugh. Boring. Then Pan. But now they're starting to get cool with it a little bit.
How'd you feel about
The Wiz, I thought, was strong.
The Wiz
was awesome.
I thought that was strong. Okay. And then Fox announced, okay, we're going to do Grease. NBC, suck it. That's what they said.
Mm-hmm.
And then
a young Ralph, by the way, used to be in Grease.
Yeah, he did.
I was in Grease. I was Danny Zuko.
Well, obviously.
Obviously. And then NBC said, okay, fine. We'll see your Grease. We'll raise you a hairspray.
Mm-hmm.
Come on! Good morning, Baltimore, right?
Yeah, that's pretty much it, though.
No, that's a lot of great songs in Hairspray. I love the movie, too. See the movie?
No, God, no.
Well, John Waters can do no wrong, but
not the original movie, the musical version of the musical with John Travolta and Christopher Walken.
Yeah, no.
And Michelle Pfeiffer. You didn't see it?
Yeah, I did, but John Waters, much better. See that, everyone.
So then Fox now comes back with, okay, then, well, how about Rocky Horror Picture Show? Boom!
Yes.
And they just announced that Adam Lambert will play the role of Eddie in that production, originally played by The Loaf in the original film. That being Meat, by the way.
Right, yeah.
Sure. Which
his
Loaf
first
I was talking
meat.
About.
His second greatest role ever.
All right, I'll bite.
Why? Don't. Don't let him do that to you. I don't care what his first was. Let's move on.
There's no biting.
I don't care.
Everyone knows we're talking Fight Club. Come on.
As the guy with the
gynomastia.
And
yes. It's a great brilliant performance.
I don't think we're supposed to talk about
you
it.
You asked for that, Garmin.
Oh, that's right.
Allie said, first of all, we're not supposed to talk about it. Because we're talking about Fight Club.
We're talking about Fight Club. Yeah, first.
Well, here's what you should do.
Yeah?
Kill yourself.
What?
Oh, my God.
Come on, Roland.
Oops, sorry. That was a mistake.
What? Are we giving something away?
My hand slipped.
Yeah. Hand check.
So bad.
Laverne Cox has been cast in Frankenfurter. Victoria Justice will play Janet. Ryan McCartan has been announced to play Brad Reeve Carney as Riff Raff.
You love him, right, Allie? Reeve Carney?
Not sure.
Oh, okay.
Isn't what would I love him from?
I thought he was one of the stars of Peaky Blinders, isn't he?
Wait, hold on. I don't know their real names. Hold on. Reeve Carney.
Allie's doing some quick
you guys know
her
on the air.
I
know.
No,
I know. Reeve
right
Carney
now?
Was Spider-Man in Turnout. The Light, Sweet Darling.
I have no idea who this guy is. He was in Penny Dreadful.
Oh, Penny Dreadful. That's
yeah,
the show.
Yeah, very
that's
different from Peaky Blinders.
Same.
All British.
Penny, Peaky, you know, what have you.
He's great in Penny Dreadful. Very talented guy.
Oh, yeah, apparently, because he thought it was Peaky Blinders.
Well,
shut up.
I got confused.
Sit down.
Sit down.
Reeve Carney is Riff Raff, and, of course, Stasnir.
Sure. Stasnir does good work.
I did this whole story just so I could say the name Stasnir again. Can you believe that?
Are we playing the hardest game of the world too right now?
Stasnir.
Yes, I can.
I wonder what his name is backwards. Sort of like Bob Smith or something. Stasnir. Stasnir.
That's a crazy name.
Stasnir.
So Twin Peaks.
Yeah, it is.
Sit down.
I couldn't be happier than when
sit
I do
down.
The backwards
sit
talking
down.
Dwarf.
She's jumping up and down.
That's my John.
She loves the backward talking dwarf.
She sure does.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Skrillex is 28. Alex Gustafson.
If you want to date Allie, talk backwards. That's the key.
Right, guys. Alex Gustafson is 29 years old. Pitbull, the rapper.
Daddy!
35. And actress Regina King is 45 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beach.
Drop his block! Yeah! Let's go!
Travis Walker!
And the beat goes on! Cause I feel so mad!
Diamonds and guns, diamonds and guns.
Here comes the promise of summer.
Can I jump the pit stop? Can I jump the pit stop? Can I jump the pit stop?
I want honey, I want honey.
Let's give the drummer some.
Y'all about to get hit up with that funky drummer. Let's go!
I'm ready to give the drummer some. Our friend Travis Barker back in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show. Travis, how are you?
Can I please get that so whenever I walk in any
sure.
room, it's just blaring? You know, it's like,
just put on your phone. And
it's the greatest intro music ever.
Thank you, DJ Omar Khan, for that. That's one of your kids with the little give the drummer some. That's one of your kids, right?
Yeah, I was finishing up my last solo album, and I was almost ready to turn it in. And my kids, they would always go around singing the songs I was working on. They have to listen to them because I'm always listening to him in the car, just checking mixes and stuff, and they had an idea for a song, so we did it in like an hour, and it was it played right after Steve Aoki and I's song Misfits on my album. It would, like, if you just let it play, Alabama and Landon had their little debut feature right there on my album. it was rad.
How old is Alabama?
Alabama is 10 years old.
So she's old enough to be excited about the football team? Like, did you guys watch the game Monday night and she was freaking out?
She was on my computer and she had seen my friend go, why does his name escape me right now? This is horrible. He hit me and he's like, Alabama's trending. Make sure your daughter sees this. Like, we're about to kick some major butt or whatever. So it was awesome.
That's cool. Well, Travis, good to see you. We worried about you when we got that news out of, what was it? Was it New Year's weekend or just after you were in Las Vegas? It sounded like you were as sick as you've ever been.
Yeah, it wasn't awesome.
Not like the doctor ordered bed rest and you said, no, the show must go on.
Well, yeah, I made my way all the way to Vegas. I had a show that night, and I was going to the fight. You know, I was going to
UFC, right?
To UFC fight. I was really excited, and I get off the bus. I'm not feeling so well, and I go to soundcheck, and I end up, you know, in the middle of meet and greet. I tell a kid, hey, nice to meet you. Give me 5 minutes, and I'd go lay down in the back because I felt like I was going to pass out. And I was like, this is weird, man. I feel awful, you know? But I didn't, you know, I wasn't throwing up. I didn't have any symptoms. I didn't feel like I was running a fever. Fast forward to, you know, I finished the meet and greet after almost passing out like 5 times, and I go to my hotel room. I call Dana White. I say, I'm not making it to the fight. I'm bummed. I mean, that's my – if I'm not going to the fight, I know I'm not feeling well.
Right.
And then, man, I wake up about an hour later, like, shivering with 104 temp.
104?
Yeah, 104. I saw it rise, you know, like for – you know, it was like 101, then it went to 102, and then – an hour later, it was 104, and then...
That's getting into scary territory,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah,
that's sort of... That's go-to-the-hospital time.
Yeah, that was go-to-the-hospital time. So I actually, you know, called the doctor for the Bellagio, Hyde, my friend Chad, that helps run that spot, that books me there. It was like, hey, let me get the paramedics and the doctor here to come see you. And they came to see me, and they said, absolutely not. You cannot play. It's, you know, your heart's fluttering. You have 104 temperature. It's probably because I wasn't getting enough water, and I was dehydrated, you know, because I was running such a fever, and I didn't really know. I fell asleep for 2 hours.
So you canceled that show?
Yeah, no, I didn't.
What?
So they said, absolutely, we suggest you not play.
Well, Travis doesn't have a high-energy job, Kevin, so it's not like he has to worry about expending too much energy.
Right. Well, for me, I was like, okay, let me see this. Okay, you're telling me not to play. I drove all the way out here. I already did sound check. I met kids from Mexico, Australia, England. Some flew out for the show.
Right, but you know they're telling you not to play because you have a temperature of 104. Like, that is a factor.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me just ask you this.
What I did is I said, okay, well, I'll sign this piece of paper saying I'm denying help. I don't want to go to the hospital. I don't want you guys to help me. I need to go on stage in 20 minutes.
Okay.
Oh, so I said, but what I'd like you to do is if you see me fall over, die, or pass out, come get me. So I'm going on stage in 20 minutes. I'm going on stage in 20 minutes. If for some reason, you know, whatever.
How was the show, Travis?
Wait, hold on 1 second. Did you think about not playing for a second? Did you think for a second, maybe they're right, maybe I shouldn't go out there?
I mean, I listened to them, definitely.
You heard their words, that's not what I'm saying.
But I was like, for me, it was, I got to give it a shot. If I pass out, if whatever happens, then I know then, you know, the show would be over and I need to go get help. But I don't know,
man. Have you ever canceled a show due to illness?
I think the day, I think Blink had a show and I got my tonsils out. And unfortunately, I was on so many painkillers, I just couldn't keep my eyes open.
That seems like that would be rough to drum.
And that was around the time. it was tough. And I had just gotten sober from those kind of drugs, you know, right then. So I didn't even want to take them, but I had found, and I told myself, I'm not going to take any. I got home. It was a different story. I was eating them like candy because that's some painful.
Yeah.
That's a painful
story.
It's really
way worse for people
worse.
That aren't children. Like if you're over like 6 or 7, it's
yeah,
way
your throat
worse.
Just burns.
Yeah. But
horrible.
Long story short, man, I got through the show. I didn't pass out. I didn't die.
Do you remember it?
No. I honestly put sunglasses on and I played for an hour and 10 minutes straight and the set went really great. I walked directly from stage back to my hotel room, got into an ice bath because I was still running a high temperature, and took it
drumming
easy.
For an hour and 10 minutes didn't cool you off any?
Yeah, right. Yeah, you know, my sets too, you know, my sets at Bellagio, you know, it's nonstop. It's like, you know, it's not like if I'm playing with Transplants or Blink, you know, Rob's gonna say something or
you'll have a little break.
Yeah. So I'm just happy I got through it. I would have felt awful if I would have drove all the way out there and I didn't play.
Is it the driving
kids.
Time that upsets you?
It's the fans.
It's the fans. That's what I thought. Yeah.
If I wouldn't have done the meet and greet and met all these people, like I came from Mexico or I came from whatever, I just felt awful, man. I felt like I would be punking out if I didn't do it. So I gave it my best, and I'm glad I did, and I got better, and I'm here to talk about it. So
and we still don't know what it was that caused it, right?
I think it was, you know, my daughter Alabama was sick, and she had like a stomach bug and a fever, and I think I got the same thing. And
whatever
I just,
your kids have, you are guaranteed to get.
Oh, for sure.
No question.
For sure.
Well, you look great. You look like you've completely recovered now. You're fine now. Travis Barker is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I know we have to take a quick break, and we got many more things we want to talk to you about, but let's get the information out there. Travis, you are here to tell us what today.
Okay, Musing 2016 is March 4th, 5th, and 6th. It's our biggest event yet. It's an amazing lineup this year. The first night, Friday the 4th, is Snoop Dogg, Transplants, and Yellow Wolf.
Transplants?
Nice. Yellow Wolf. No
yes.
kidding.
The second night is the Deftones and Taking Back Sunday.
Nice.
And the last night is Circus Survive, Atreyu, and Face to Face.
Look at that.
So, yeah, it's our most massive year to date, you
wow.
know?
And I can't believe it's really been 9 years already. This is the ninth year.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable to me.
It's amazing.
OC Fairgrounds, March 4th, 5th, and 6th. This is new information from Travis. Tickets are going on sale next Friday, January 22nd at 10 a.m. at musinc.org. And that's M-U-S-I-N-K. Explain for folks who, and by the way, tickets started just $25, who don't know the name Musinc, they haven't put two and two together, why your festival that you curate every year is so cool.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's called Musinc. Obviously, it's music. And tattoos and cars. You know, we have like 500 of the best tattoo artists that are all under that one roof. And this year, we actually made it, if you're just solely there to get tattooed, you can buy a $25 ticket and just get tattooed.
Oh, that's cool.
Instead of having to buy, you know, the more expensive ticket to see the music. Or vice versa, if you just want to see Transplants, Yellow Wolf, and Snoop Dogg on Friday, you can just pay for that ticket and you don't want to get tattooed.
As a businessman, you're supposed to make the charge all you can from each person.
Yeah, right? we really wanted to cater to those people, you know, because some tattoo people are solely there to get tattooed and they'll spend all 3 days getting the biggest, most elaborate back piece from someone like Corey Miller, you know?
And that's the only reason that they're there.
Yeah, that's the only reason they're there. They're you know, the music is secondary. Whereas I really think this is the first year we've broken it up and offered, you know, the separate tickets. But I really believe a lot of our fans like to go and do both. But, you know, we made it like that. You
talk
know,
talk about three of the things you're most passionate in the world about in the same place all weekend long. You must really look forward to this.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it is. It's tattoos and having, you know, talent that's not always in L.A., not always in Orange County and isn't always so accessible right there, you know, for 3 days. And then, I mean, how many times have you seen Snoop Dogg, Transplants, and Yellow Wolf in one
right.
night?
It's in one night? I have never.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy.
And then all these cars, too. I know you're always working on restoring something. What car has got your fancy right now that you got in the garage?
I'm so into, I think I might have talked to last time, I'm so into K5s. I've been building this K5, which is kind of, you know, kind of my version of an Icon. Have you seen Icon?
I don't think, no.
Oh,
no.
Yeah, look up Icon 4x4. I'm here promoting Icon 4x4 right now. It's awesome. But, you know, they deserve it. They make a great vehicle. But
holy cow.
They basically take, I didn't have them do my K5. I kind of did the same thing where you swap out the original motor. You put an LS motor in. You put all brand new LED lights, you know, new brake system, basically everything. The guts.
That is
of
not a low profile vehicle, Travis.
Yeah, the guts of the car are replaced with the newest and best. And then basically you just have the body of whatever car you're restoring. So that's what I just did to my K5. I have a 71 K5 and it's just mean. You know, I could drive it I could drive it to New York, you know, I could race a Corvette.
He is living the dream. Travis Barker is here. We'll take a quick break. Don't forget, tickets go on sale next Friday, the 22nd at 10 a.m. at musinc.org. And that's the same place you want to go, musinc.org, for all the information, all the details about all three great nights. It's going to be March 4th through the 6th at the OC Fairgrounds. More with Travis right after this on K-Rock. One of our favorite guests over the last 20 years on the Kevin and Bean Show is our friend Travis Barker, who once again joins us in studio here on K-Rock. If you missed the announcement, the 9th annual Musinc is going to be this year, March 4th, 5th, and 6th at the OC Fairgrounds. An unbelievable lineup, including Snoop Dogg and the Deftones and Taking Back Sunday and the Transplants and Circus Survive, Atreyu, Face to Face. The list goes on and on. All the details at musinc.org. Hey, Travis, did you buy a Powerball ticket this week?
You know, I did. I did on the way to the studio.
How
I had to. It was like, it's like pop culture. Like if I didn't, I'd just been like out of the mix.
Out of the conversation. How many tickets you buy?
No, I was conservative, man. I bought like three.
So $6. You put $6
down. Yeah.
I was thinking about this as I pre- prepared to ask you that question. You're one of the few people I can think of. Had you won the Powerball, I don't think your life would change at all. I don't think you would do anything different than you're doing right now.
I mean, I would have probably donated the majority, I mean, a lot of it to, you know what I mean?
To us?
Like, yeah, to K-Rock. Right.
I just thought that's what he was going to say. I don't know.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it's not, I have like friends that obsess over it, but it was just kind of like one of those things, like I was like, why not? My son asked me, what's this Powerball thing, Dad? and then, yeah, we just bought one when we were at a grocery store, a liquor store.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I'm just saying most people want to win a jackpot like that so that they can live their dream and do the things that they want to do and have the time to be where they want to be. But I feel like you kind of already get to do that with being able to indulge in all of your passions all the time, you know?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I mean, you know, what they say is like we're all here, but, you know, you work your whole life, but you're not buried with all the materialistic things you gather or you accumulate over your lifetime.
Can't take it with you.
Yeah, so yeah. We're all the same when we're, you know, dead in the dirt. So, you know, that stuff, you know, I think just being happy day to day, going to the studio makes me happy. Spending time with my kids makes me happy. But, you know, Powerball is just something fun. You know, yeah, you just participate.
You're also one of the few celebrities that I think if a celebrity wins that Powerball, I get angry.
Right.
I'd be upset. Like, you already have everything.
Right.
I wouldn't be mad.
Oh, that's nice.
I'd be cool with that. All right. I want to ask you another personal question, Travis. And this has been on my mind this week because with the terribly sad passage of Lemmy from Motorhead a couple of weeks ago, Dave Grohl went out the next day and got a Lemmy tattoo. Oh, awesome. Then David Bowie dies and Flea went out and got a David Bowie tattoo the next day because these are their idols that they want to commemorate and remember forever. I don't think I've ever seen a breakdown of all the tattoos that you have. And I wondered how many of them are musical.
You know, I don't have too many musical tattoos. Like, I don't have, like, a Hendrix tattoo or a Buddy Rich tattoo. I'm trying to think of all my heroes, you know?
That's a surprise to me because you've had so many opportunities to go in and get something like that. I'm surprised you never did.
Yeah, I mean, I have a Descendants tattoo I got when I was, like, 16. You know, I don't want to grow up. So I guess that would be my musical tattoo. And that's still, I mean, no matter how much time goes by, the Descendants were the... You know, they were the soundtrack to my childhood. In
right.
A sense,
you know? Yeah, that's a cool way to commemorate your. You know, you love a band when you get them tattooed, and you go, "I'm never going to stop loving this band."
Yeah, I'll never grow out of the Descendants. I remember 2 years ago at Muse Inc., the Descendants played, and I got to be honest, like that whole year, I think I was working on a lot of hip hop music, but I was still, you know, working on Transplant stuff, Blink stuff. But I got to say, like I probably didn't put on a Descendants album within that, you know, 6 month period before I saw them. And the minute they started playing, I got goosebumps. And I was like, this is why I love this band and it's never going to change. You know what I mean? Like, I feel, you know, Minor Threat gives me that same feeling. And the same thing for like, when I hear It's Like That by Run DMC, like Beastie Boys stuff I grew up on, there's just some music that sticks with you forever, and they're just...
Carly Rae Jepsen, obviously.
Absolutely.
All right, speaking of music, listen to this. NME interviewed Travis recently, and they revealed that you say a new Blink-182 album is due in 2016, as well as a new album from Ant Mask that you're on, as well as two other EPs with Transplants, and a solo album. All of that in 12 months?
Yes. I mean, 2015 was the start of all of that. So the Anti-Mask album with Cedric and Omar from Mars Volta, it's finished.
That's done.
It's
done. Okay.
It's done. Wow. Yeah, it's being the last two songs are being mixed. And I talked to Omar a couple days ago. It's coming out this year for sure. The Transplants album, our covers are done, and now we are finishing up some like B-side and just unreleased songs we never finished.
Do you have a lot of that type of thing?
Transplants, like stuff sitting around? Yeah, we did. That's why when we were going through our covers album, we kind of reviewed all these records that never, you know, were on some of our other albums, and we're like, these are great songs. We should group them with our covers and make like this cool EP. So the idea is to do two EPs, you know, together. So it's originals coupled with a couple covers.
And that's fantastic.
Yeah, so I actually have to get in the studio really soon and finish that, you know, and that's done. And then solo album is coming along. I'm actually just sent a record to Pusha T from the Clips, who's great. He's the new president of Good Music, like Kanye's album, Kanye's record label. And he was on my last album, too. So, yeah, I'm working on that really late at night. I do obscene hours. I come home from the studio at 4 a.m. when I'm doing that. And then Blink album, you know, is coming together. It's really... I'm excited.
Last I heard, you had five new songs recorded with Matt.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to reveal too much, and I don't know how many songs we're going to write before we say, hey, this is the group of 12 songs we're putting on the album. But, you know, we have 15, 20 songs right now. But wow. I really feel like it's a process where, you know, you just – it's like if you're painting for an art show, you're not going to have – if you're going to debut 12 paintings, you're not just going to paint 12 paintings. You're going to paint 40 paintings and go, these are the 12 – that I'm in love with
is
and I want to share with everybody.
Is it difficult to pare down? However, would you say you're already 20? Is it difficult to pare it down to?
No, I feel like we already know.
Oh, you already do.
You know, and the writing process usually is like, you know, we'll do it like about a song a day, you know, when we're working. Say if, you know, if we're working on a Tuesday, one or two of my ideas might come out of that Tuesday. And, you know, don't spend too much time on it, but just see what it is. Let it take shape. Let it take form. And then listen back and you go like, oh, that was a great idea. And we could really, you know, that's something, you know, that record moves me. That record, not so much. It's cool, but you know, and you just, you know, you separate the cute kids from the ugly kids, if you will, you know?
You're like, you know. But you don't tell the ugly kids that they're ugly, do you?
Well, no, yeah. I mean, you got to be brutally honest. You got to be brutally honest.
And that's going to be a tough conversation for one of your kids to have down the road, I'll tell you that.
And it's all of our ideas, so none of us can get hurt, you know? It's
right.
Like, you know, and I mean, that's the job, you know? Even on my records I do, or Transplants records you do, you just go like, you know what? That song's not that awesome.
That is,
you know,
an ugly kid.
Yeah, yeah.
What is the and I know that we'll probably have all you guys back in down the road as we get closer to the release. But I'm so curious now. You've spent so much time in this studio with Matt, along with Mark. What is the chemistry like? I mean, it's a different experience for Blink 182 to have this lineup prior to the past. Is it wildly different? Was there a real learning curve?
I think it's awesome because we're all actually in the studio where we couldn't get that with the old lineup. It was impossible to get all three of us in the same studio.
Mm-hmm.
So
that was an album by email, right? The last one.
I mean, in the beginning, like songs like Up All Night off Neighborhoods, that was all, you know, I just got out of the hospital from the burn center and I was in there and I had like open wounds on my legs, like, you know, I was in there way too prematurely just because we were so excited, and I was like, I was actually lying to them going, yeah, I'm fine to be in the studio, but I wasn't in any shape to be in the studio. We did about three songs like that, and I think the ones we felt the greatest about were the ones where you're all in the studio. I think with a band, you can't just phone it in. You got to be there, and for that great chemistry and for everyone to really vibe, you got to all be in the same room.
I very much believe in phoning it in, Travis. You know,
yeah.
That.
Well, it works for this, but for
yeah,
that,
you're not a musician.
You know, for that, it was a different story. So just having someone like, you know, Matt that's in the studio every day is just great. You got to show up for, you know, that's the first part
in the studio and excited to be there.
Yeah, and
love it.
And it's just exciting, you know. It's a new chapter, and you know, we're not striving for mediocrity. We're looking to kill it. You know, it's not like we're going to make a great album.
We talk about summertime, or what do you think?
I think summertime.
Okay.
There's awesome. Tentatively some plans to play shows during summer. Everything will come together and be revealed.
We
in
want
due time.
All of the answers right
yeah.
now.
It's gonna be great.
Sorry, but well, it's gonna be an amazing 2016, and what a great start to hear this news about the 9th annual Musink, which is coming to the OC Fairgrounds once again, March 4th, 5th, and 6th. For folks who weren't with us a few minutes ago, hit the lineup one more time, Travis, because this is amazing.
Yeah, so March 4th, we have a great friend of mine, Snoop Dogg, who's also, you know, passionately into cars. So you could look for like Snoop's cars being there. Passionately into tattoos and music. You have Snoop, Transplants, and Yellow Wolf on the first day of Musink, the fourth, the Friday. The second day, the Deftones, Taking Back Sunday, and there'll also be a to be announced like opening band. That's going to be great. And then Sunday is Circus Survive, Atreyu, and one of my favorite bands, Face to Face.
So it's tattoo convention, car show, and all that great music. As Travis explained, you can go to just the tattoos part or just the music part. Or you can go to both. There's lots of VIP packages available, including meet and greets. So really a fantastic weekend. Tickets are going on sale next Friday at 10 a.m. at MuseInc.org. Get all the information at that same address, MuseInc.org. All right, Travis, I think you covered it, my friend. Well done.
Yeah, nice talking to you guys. I was saying it never feels early coming in here, you guys, because you guys are awesome. And it's, you know,
we appreciate it, man. We love you. See you soon.
All right.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:43.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey.
Take us home, man. Let's land this plane.
All right.
Let's get the altitude that we need to get off this boat. As I heard a wise man say
very wise man.
He said it well, though. I remember that he said it very well.
Yeah, it was
I remember that too.
Concise.
We had that moment with. I'd like to hear the actual.
Not sure exactly how it went, but it was something that was really good and easy to understand.
A moment with Bean.
Dude, you may finally achieve the altitude that you've been trying to get off this boat. What? Wait, what? I was thinking. I didn't say that.
What?
I was thinking he just fell off his chair.
That was a moment with Bean.
Wow. What that guy said. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, let me get the taste of Bean out of your mouth.
Ew.
With a little intermezzo, as they call it, right? Isn't that it? What do they call
it? The in-between?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Little sorbet they give you in between courses to cleanse your palate.
Palate cleanser, sure.
Yeah. Let me give you something. Give me a little something, something. There's going to be an X-Files marathon.
Is that the end of the story?
Yes. It's going to be an X-Files marathon held tomorrow at the CineFamily's Silent Movie Theater there on Fairfax. That's a cool place to see stuff. And it's going to be hosted by Kumail Nanjiani.
Yeah!
Of course, from Silicon Valley, and you've seen him in other funny roles.
And the X-Files reboot.
That's right. Also, he's in the new X-Files, and he's the host of the podcast, The X-Files Files. So he is a hardcore fan. The event is running from noon tomorrow to 10 p.m. Just an entire day of just rolling around in X-Files, just slathering X-Files all over your body.
Yeah.
Just get in there, get nude, and just roll around in X-Files.
Company all over me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I want to give it to a true fan. I don't want just some jamoke going in there watching X-Files, not knowing what the hell's going on. So I'm going to give you a little trivia. See, the powers that be here at K-Rock said, oh, just give it to just some random caller. No! No! No, I'm not playing by their rules. I'm a loose cannon. I'm a wild card. And I need to be dealt with.
How are you going to give it away,
Ralph? I'm going to do some X-Files trivia.
X-Files
Kevin.
Trivia.
Here's something a hardcore X-Files fan would know. The first two callers who get through with the correct answer will receive a pair of passes to tomorrow's X-Files Marathon hosted by Kumail Nanjiani. Here is your X-Files trivia question. The big bad of X-Files, the Darth Vader of the X-Files, if you will, of course, was...
D's Nuts.
Not D's Nuts, no. It was the Smoking Man. The Smoking Man. Terrifying. Otherworldly. Spooky.
Turd Ferguson.
No.
That's his real name.
No, it wasn't.
Smoking Man.
The Smoking Man. Of course, a legendary character on X-Files.
Magic Dick.
What was the fictitious brand of cigarettes that the Smoking Man famously smoked? This isn't a wow. If you watch this on a regular basis, you know what the Smoking Man smoked.
Okay.
It's not what Kevin smokes on a regular basis. I was howling us on the movie, so it's good. Call me now if you know the answer to what fictitious brand of cigarettes the Smoking Man smoked, X-Files fans. Call me now, 1-800-520-1067. First two callers through with the correct answer. We'll get a pair of passes to the X-Files Marathon. We're right around the corner from the reboot. After the NFC Championship game, boom, Fox is going to give us some brand new episodes of X-Files.
Can't wait.
Very exciting times. Crime and showbiz, sadly, often cross paths. I told you yesterday, Nick Carter was popped in Florida for a little altercation at a bar called the Hog's Breath. Whose motto is, and I kid you not, better hog's breath than no breath at all.
Really?
Yes. They need to work on that.
That's half-hearted at best.
Now we know more details. Apparently he and his buddy, Michael Papayans, rolled into the Hog's Breath on Wednesday at around 7 p.m.
A little early to go to a bar?
Well, you know, speak for yourself.
Okay.
Junior, I rolled into bars at 7 a.m. at the beginning of my drinking evening. Apparently this was one of the... This was at least midway for these two because they rolled in and they were too drunk to be served. According to the staff, that's when things went south. Apparently, Michael Papayans tried to sucker punch an employee. Meanwhile, Nick Carter of the Backstreet Boys grabbed a bouncer by the throat.
That, I don't believe, is the move.
Mm-mm.
I don't think you want to grab a bouncer.
They were both arrested for battery. And Nick's got a sweet mugshot up, by the way. Looking pretty good, actually. For being that loaded around 7 in the afternoon, in the early evening, and, you know, going through the processing and everything, that's pretty good. He's holding up pretty well.
All right.
Kid's got a future. Meanwhile, the Red Power Ranger from Wild Force Power Rangers is back in trouble. His name's Ricardo Medina Jr. About a year ago, he got into an argument with his roommate over his girlfriend and stabbed said roommate a bunch of times with a samurai sword.
That
was considered self-defense at the time. Well, yesterday, police rearrested him on murder charges. Apparently, one of the cops said to the other cop, "Hold on, he stabbed him a bunch of times with a samurai sword, and we said that was self-defense? What were we thinking?" And they went back and rearrested him, so we'll have to wait and see how that all shakes down. But he could face up to 26 years in prison if he's convicted. That's a long time.
That is a long time, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, it's a pretty stunning legal analysis.
Well, I used to be a lawyer.
A lot of people don't know that.
That's right.
Yeah.
This Fox Rocky Horror Picture Show reboot, still casting. Adam Lambert from American Idol fame will play the role of Eddie in the production, famously played by Meatloaf in the original film. Hot Patootie, Bless My Soul. I really love that rock and roll. Was the big song he performed in that song, and apparently Adam will be doing it well, and I think that's a great choice. He'll crush that song. Does anyone care about me? Is this thing on?
I'm not a Rocky Horror fan at all.
Really? Have you
not
ever seen it?
I have.
No.
Yeah.
You haven't seen
no,
it.
No, I haven't
you
seen
haven't
it.
You haven't seen it. Sit down.
You haven't seen it. Don't lie.
I thought you asked me
you
if I've seen it.
You haven't,
right.
Though.
Have I revealed
we know
yes,
the answer.
I have.
You haven't seen monster hit movies. You haven't seen a little cult picture like Rocky Horror Picture Show.
I saw the movie.
Wrong.
Nope.
I didn't
Donald
care
Trump
for
says
it.
Wrong.
Wrong.
How can you not care for it?
I just, it wasn't.
Wrong.
Everybody loves it.
It wasn't my John.
Oh, that's such a big liar.
Kevin, what did you think of the Rocky
John correctly, though?
What did you think of the Rocky Horror Picture Show,
I haven't
Kevin?
Seen it.
How about you, Allie?
I loved it.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan. Huge fan. Initially, I was...
The scandal only exists with you, Bean, because no one believes that you actually saw it.
Guys, I've seen a lot of
no.
movies.
Nah.
I have.
No.
Have you
wrong.
Ever seen it in a theater with everybody singing
yeah.
along, throwing the toes,
no, you think
doing
Bean
all that?
Would go to a theater where there are a lot of people throwing stuff and singing?
Squirt bottles
no
raining down
way.
In the rain
yeah.
with newspapers on our heads.
That's a million
like,
years.
That was like my worst nightmare. That's the one reason
why?
I would
because
never
fun?
See it in the theater.
Because
it's
that's
not
a
fun.
Fun thing.
It's not fun. Shut up.
People get you up on... Shut up.
That's the worst sit-down ever.
That was the least manly
wow.
shut up anyone's ever said.
No, I saw it on TV.
Shut up!
Shut up!
Wrong.
It's not for me.
Ugh. Anyway, I was dubious when they announced this thing because I said, "How are you going to best Tim Curry and Susan Sarandon, who played Brad, the big Wang guy?"
See, right there, I think you'd be in Bean.
come on, you know him,
the big Wang guy.
that's the
tip we're going on?
Yes, yes, literally. you know.
What do you ask?
Barry Bostwick. Barry Bostwick's name of the actor.
All right.
Yeah.
So the point of all this
he's
is.
A legendarily
it,
huge
is that you approve of Adam Lambert taking the meatloaf role.
And
yes, you didn't
but also
see it.
Laverne Cox from Orange is the New Black. She's playing Frankenfurter. Victoria Justice playing Janet. Ryan McCartan as Brad. Reeve Carney as Riff Raff. And, of course, Staz Nair as Rocky himself.
Say it again.
Staz Nair. guy's name. Same as backwards and forwards.
It's a real guy's name.
That's a guy's name. Do we have any? I guess we do. I guess we have an answer to my trivia question. Somebody's eager to go home. They have an answer.
It's been a long week for me, Ralph.
Yeah, I know. You worked almost all of three whole days. Let's go to Ryan in Huntington Beach and see if he knows the answer. He might be an X-Files fan. Ryan?
Yeah, it's Morley.
Morley's, that's right. Yeah, he's puffing on them Morley's in the shadows, smoking a big Morley. Congratulations. Hold on, Ryan. We're going to give you all the details, but you're going to see the X-Files marathon tomorrow at the Silent Movie Theater on Fairfax. Hold on, okay?
Thank you, sir.
Congratulations also to Alexander in Anaheim. He also won. This should be a fun event. Today's celebrity birthdays. Skrillex is 28 years old today. Alex Gustafson is 29. Pitbull's 35. Dale! Ugh. And Regina King, one of our favorites. Brilliant actress. Super talented. And could
Emmy
not
winner,
be sweeter.
By the way.
Emmy winner. Mm-hmm. Could not be sweeter. 45 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show with Beats.
Thank you, Ralph. Have a great weekend, everybody. On Tuesday morning, we're going to come back in style with the Bachelor Report.
Yeah.
Ralph Garman and Petros.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
My mom says there's a lot of black people in Africa.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
You're so ignorant with your generalization.
Roll another one.
This is for all the fat girls.
Just like. This one seems to be about to quit.
It's kind of weird, but she was funny.
I need another hit.
So why can't I bogart that joint? You're asking me to roll another one just like the other one. That means there's about to be two joints in play. Come on, people, it's logistics.
Roll. Just pass it around,
janky.
Well, don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Food.
Let's pass it on down. Fundamentals.
I cannot stand to listen to this bullshit for one more second.
Okay, everybody, I got to get to Star Wars. Thank you. Thank you, guys.
What are we doing, folks? What are we doing? What are we doing? We can't do it any longer.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Thank you. I'm afraid that's it. We're out of time. From myself and Mel Gibson, shalom.
Good night, and stay alive.